Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you, if you look deep in, if you look into your heart, you can always find a message in the message. Okay. What you just heard, all right, was a more than positive reinforcement and affirmation from Leslie Jones, Leslie Les Dog Jones, okay? And she's simply recording a video, a selfie video on her phone, sipping a drink through a cup and a straw,
yes.
Wearing sunglasses. She's in a beautiful, sunny locale, and she's saying, And you can see on her face by her countenance that she clearly is in disbelief of whatever someone has been feeding her. It's total bullshit. She has her hip boots on so she can wade through it. But instead of arguing, going back and forth, taking the time to disprove whatever they're saying, you know what she did? She exuded patience. She exuded grace. She exuded resiliency. Okay. And she simply agreed to disagree. That, my friends, is the message that we're going to take away from that. You ain't always got to fight back. And I'm looking in the mirror. I'm talking to the man in the mirror like Mike Jack. Okay. I needed this message today. You don't always got to say nothing back. Sometimes you could just agree to disagree. Keep it moving. Ladies, gentlemen, and anything, anywhere in between. Let me tell you something. You are going to face some hardships coming up this week. And instead of, you know, fighting fire with fire, you know what we're going to do collectively? We're going to say hashtag, three M's, one H, and two more M's. That is the hashtag for this week.
You're awesome because I was going to ask, so how we spell it?
Okay.
That's exactly how we spell it, phonetically, because we needed this message. So this week, remember, we're going to agree to disagree, and we're also going to be agreeable. As the good book says, as far as it depends upon you, be peaceable with all men's. Okay. And so that is the clip of the week. And with that being said, we're going to roll this car right on over to the QTNAs, which are questions that need answers and questions that niggas is asking.
QTNAs.
Number one, we're going to get this one real out the way really quick. Which one of y'all said that you thought that Game of Thrones was a docuseries about Deborah Attney remodeling her home and her search for wider toilets?
Oh.
Who said that's what they thought Game of Thrones was? Deborah Attney want a wider toilet. Something to come up on the sides, maybe.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know, and a thicker rim on the seat. You know what I'm saying? You need a thicker rim. You need like an 8-inch rim around that toilet seat for support. Support me, bitch! Like Nene said to Marlo. Okay, question number two.
Is she really
good? Yes, she did. And that's actually going to be the clip coming up soon. Okay, question two. This one, I need y'all's help with. Okay?
No, you don't.
Is it true that this past Tuesday at 9:13 p.m. to be exact, at the Rustic Wagon Steakhouse in Chicago, Illinois, two patrons were sitting next to each other at the bar watching the Bucks and Raptors NBA playoff game? And when they both said shit and smacked their hand on the bar at the exact same time to protest the missed shot, newly inducted Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot and VH1 old dog with many new tricks, Rich Dollars, slowly turned to look at each other and stared for 3 seconds and then said, my bad. Y'all know Lori. Y'all seen that mayor, Lori Lightfoot in Chicago?
Right, she looked like,
it's the eyes. It's in the eyes. It's in the eyes. Lori Lightfoot and Rich Dollars. Y'all know they look like. Who said it?
No,
all right.
For the record, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Fran's second.
For the record, don't tag me in the side-by-side. I ain't got nothing to do.
Same.
Because it's a coming.
Also as
it's
well.
A coming. Lori Lightfoot and Rich Dollars.
And then they Dustin know. Always retweets talking about, I told you.
All right.
Oh, question
three. And now this one is a question for the white delegation, okay?
Oh.
We need your help.
No, they stopped listening a long time ago.
Is it true?
Is it true?
That Democratic presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren has been looking so tired and beat down all the time because she's been fighting false tooth and nail against her staff day and night because she wants to retain Saturday Night Live legend Dana Carvey as her running mate, but they keep getting confused on which one of them is which. Y'all know Elizabeth Warren and Dana Carvey looking
why
like,
did he do
who
too?
Said it? Is it true? And with that being said, and most, and the whites is going to help with that one. With that being said, and most importantly understood, got your ass, friend. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this week's episode of The Friend Zone.
Can I go now?
It's your look weekly into all things mental health, mental hygiene, and mental wellness. And mental hygiene, because that's how you make it connect. Mm. So, you know, because who wants a musty brain?
Who in the hell?
Thank you. I don't want one.
Hell!
I don't want one.
How you doing, friend?
I'm doing amazing. How are you, my brothers?
I'm good.
You did that real, like, cheetah woman, like, see, real Angie Stone.
You see?
My brothers.
My brothers.
I'm doing amazing. I'm doing so amazing that I'm going to give you the Black Business of the Week before we get into any and everything else.
Come on, smooth transition.
Because that's just the type of bitch I am. First and foremost, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakers.com. Wow, did I fuck it up for 1 second?
See how you went back to the old school.
Because I was, well, yeah, because I'm so used to doing it, but then I was out of place, so I fucked up for a second.
No, that was right. That was right.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. Email us your Black Businesses of the Week. All right, so for the Black Business of the Week, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to Malik, who emailed us. And again, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. Malik says, hey guys, I just wanted to put you onto this amazing lifestyle brand known as Positively Perfect and their sister company, The Fresh Dolls. Their main product is a black online of multicultural dolls with positive affirmations right on the box. Founded by Dr. Lisa Williams, they aim to raise the self-esteem of ethnic children from a young age, while they're still developing their sense of body image and individuality. While there are more multicultural dolls and now than when I was a kid, what made me fall in love with these from a collector's perspective was their wide range of custom blended skin tones. They're vibrant and not ashy like some black dolls I've come across. real. And body type / features that actually reflect realistic and healthy standards for today's society. They're friend-shaped, y'all. They even have a line of male dolls for boys. I found out about them on Instagram and thought you guys might like them. So yeah, there are tons of dolls on their Instagram. If you go to the_fresh_dolls, it'll take you right to their Instagram where you can see all the pictures of the dolls they have. Some of them got afros. One of them, she's got pink braids. Look at this doll right here. You see this?
Oh, snap.
She got a French roll.
With the pearls in it.
Look, but look at this one.
Oh yeah.
No, see? They're really cute. I like their outfits.
You know, and then the male dolls are real cute too. Like you see this one, his hairstyle.
Not the haircut though.
I'm telling you.
No, those are really cute. They're very hip.
They yeah. are. They look, they're very fresh.
They're very fresh.
So shout out to the Fresh Dolls and shout out to Malik. Thank you so much for writing in. And that is the Black Business of this week.
Nice. Thank
you. I just think it's real funny how people think they could comment on friend's shape. They know how she's shaped. This is a podcast. You don't know how nothing shaped.
Right. Not for visual.
Keep your mouth off of friend shape. That's all I just wanted to say real quick.
Oh my God.
I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? You got to cut that shit off at the root. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I heard you. I see you. Okay.
That's what got me dead. Are y'all ready to jump into this week's recap segment?
Let me fill up to it.
So on last week's episode titled Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Likes, we discussed social media. It was a social media roundup. We talked about Pornhub buying Tumblr, Instagram hiding likes to preserve our mental health, and the three new features Facebook is adding that should make things a little spicy for us this summer.
Spicy.
As always, you guys had a lot to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Paola in the emails.
Paola.
Yes. She says, this episode was great, and I just want to bring up an additional point. While I agree that parents can have a big impact on how their kids engage with social media, what happens with kids whose parents aren't able to fully support them? I'm a child therapist working in a community, in community mental health, aka nonprofits, who serve very marginalized folks. Many of the kids I work with have parents who are battling addictions, are unlearning cycles of violence, who have been abusive, or who are busy working long shifts. I also work with many non-English speaking parents who don't always know the social media trends. and these kids still have social media. I think in this case, where parents are up against a lot of barriers to provide their ideal guidance, any outside help from community / society at large is good. And just in general, I think it should be the responsibility of companies to check themselves on the effort, on the effects their products have. Products get recalled when there's some type of physical harm or consumers. So I think there should be the same type of responsibility when there's social / mental harm done. And from the studies Fran talked about, it sounds like there's definitely evidence of that. So when these corporations make billions off of people, I think the least they can do is try out adjusting their product so it's less harmful to all of us, and especially to the most vulnerable in society. Just an additional take. Thanks again. Thanks,
love
Paola.
That.
First of all,
look at
Paola.
Dustin suck his teeth.
First of all, nah, because I'm tired of this shit. First of all, Paola. I wasn't trying to be funny for you. It was a slip of the tongue. But first of all, Paola, damn it. We agree with that. That's what we said any damn way. What I said was not that way. You get what I'm saying? We on the same page. But it wasn't no additional take, is my point. I'm not going to sit here and listen to your lies, Paola. I'm not. It wasn't no additional. It was the take. Okay?
Lord.
And I'm not going to take it anymore. Now, that's what we said.
I was scared of reading any comments.
Well, what you got, friend?
Afia.
Love you, Paola.
So, Afia. I'm sorry, Afia. I love you.
I'm sorry, Paola.
I'm sorry, Paola.
You need to write in again or something. You know, let us know you're doing all right.
Well, I just get no comments.
We just get eyes.
I'm sorry, but nobody left anything. Okay, so on SoundCloud, I actually have a few. Afia says, I'm in Toronto. You see how I said it, Toronto, like a native. Shout out to Maya.
Obvio.
Toronto. So I'm in Toronto when I heard IG.
Also, happy birthday, Maya. I'm
happy
sorry, friend.
Happy birthday,
Shameless Maya.
My boot cake. She looks so beautiful, right?
She looked gorgeous.
She's in Colombia right now celebrating. She's in a surf camp in Colombia. Can we talk about this?
Life goals.
Living in a
surfing
hut,
up on that ass.
Living in a hut on the beach for the week.
Yes.
For her birthday, like
for her 37.
Her skin already looks great, so you now she's just about to have a whole nother layer of sexiness.
She texts me like, "I have Wi-Fi today. Hit me back." All right, so Afia says, "I'm in Toronto, and when I heard IG would be modifying the like feature, I was apprehensive. But after week one, I barely noticed anything. You quickly realize how seeking validation plays a major role in the IG experience. In the first few days, even though I knew they were gone, I found my eyes constantly darting towards the like section of each post, almost like a visceral reaction before I could even fully digest what I was looking at. I was more concerned with what others were thinking. I wanted to know whether they approved. Might not be welcoming news, but I think the change is here to stay, particularly because everyone I know, regular folk and influencers alike, have adjusted so easily. There's been so little uproar, you'd think they didn't make any changes at all. It also diversified the pit of hell I usually avoid, known as the Explore page. Mm-hmm. People I follow now engage with posts they normally wouldn't because they don't have a metric dictating whether a post is worthy enough to engage. Mm. Yes. Mm. Look at Dustin.
See, y'all go.
Be nice.
I ain't gonna be negative.
Nah, because
see, I had already knew that. You know what I'm saying? I need, you know.
And then, so that was Afia. But then I had a bunch of people were hitting me up about the Old Navy exercise clothing from the wellness segment.
Oh,
that wasn't
they?
Even the wellness segment. That was before. And I was just asking you guys during the hot button, I think, where you buy your exercise clothes. And so this one, I had to read this comment because it cracked me up. I'm actually looking for it.
A lot of people were telling me TJ Maxx. I bumped into somebody on the street. They was like, I tell Fran to go to TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx?
I love TJ Maxx. Yeah,
yes. Where is a TJ Maxx?
TJ Maxx. Well, there's one right by where we walk all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, when I come down here, I ain't coming to shop.
I'm just saying, anytime you can just dip into a TJ Maxx, it's worth it.
16th and 6th.
16th and 6th.
We can go this weekend. Ciao. Right. <There you go. laughs> I need candles any damn way.
Yes.
You have people another tweeting one. Me chow all chow. Week. I was like, guys, stop.
It's a movement.
Did you ever go to Baby Chow in Atlanta?
Baby Chow? Yeah. No.
It was just, you know how there's always
that was
like
Jeffrey Dahmer's
overpriced
restaurant.
No.
no, it was not.
So yep, I have a comment from Major Morris, who said, Fran, I too am a big body Benz. Hold on, it gets better. It gets better. A Cadillac DeVille, if you will.
Ooh, now this is a comment I can get behind.
Bars, yes. Okay. From one S curve to another, Old Navy workout clothes fits us very well, and they stay having a sale.
Word.
Adia of the Wave said, thick thighs and booty here, and I swear by Old Navy. See? High waist compression leggings.
Gotta get
super
you into
comfy.
The Old
so
Navy
literally
now.
Everybody.
Gotta shout out to these comments Navy. That I love.
Literally everybody was in my comments, whether it was SoundCloud or on Twitter, being like, girl, get your butt, get your big butt to Old Navy the and buy Old some Navy, leggings. See? So I'll take it from y'all, from the coalition.
You know, Old Navy was like the second place I ever worked. It was
really?
Like my second
you
job.
Know, I can legit say I've only been in Old Navy like one time. The one on 34th Street. You know, ain't that the big, huge
that's
one?
You've never been even been time. To the one on 125th?
I mean, I walked past it, but that isn't that like new? It's relatively new.
Well, I mean, over like 6 or 7 years, maybe.
What?
That Old Navy been there for, look, I've been uptown. That Old
That's
Navy been
sad
there for
that
a
I
it's been there
new.
From when it just was Navy. That's how long it's been there. Now it's Old Navy.
That's sad. I didn't know it's been there that long.
You've been just ignoring that.
I've just been walking past.
I've got to get to where I'm going, which is this Old Navy.
Only thing I do on 125th is the movie theater.
Yeah, I was about to say, literally, it's all black shit on 125th. So
right, yeah,
the movies is definitely black shit on 125th.
Everything's gone.
And Magic Johnson. That is a black ass movie theater.
I literally don't go anywhere else.
Jimmy Jazz, Champs, House of Hoops.
Yes.
That whole little corridor right there.
That's your jam.
Saturday night's all right with me. Yep. That's where you can find me.
I actually need to go because I need to get some t-shirts, some men's t-shirts.
Shout out to Harlem, USA. Another honorable mention.
Yes, even though the music be loud as hell.
As hell. As hell. But I don't know whose mixtape this is, but I have to get my clothing. Ooh, sorry about that. What about you, Dustin? What did you find in them Twitter streets?
Shout out to Lil Nas X. Y'all know who the fuck that is. Who tweeted, I'm an industry plant and I'm proud.
Work.
You know, we love it when you own stuff.
Work.
So, and people were in the comments talking about, friends all said it first.
Exactly.
I was like, oh my God, don't tweet him that.
I also want to give a shout out to at Prince Charming Pierre, who is hilarious, who tweeted shout out to Prince Charming.
Oh my God, is he the dude with the monkey
story?
The Freaky
Boys.
So listen.
Oh.
So listen to this one.
This is happening to me.
So Pierre says.
Pierre, I love you.
Y'all. My cousin on the cruise braiding people hair for money. Shaking my head. You can't take Chicago people nowhere. So this nigga on the cruise with his cousin. His cousin like,
she
just started
a business.
Braiding people hair for money on the cruise ship. This is why we sign into Twitter.
Oh my
yes.
God. He is really funny, dude.
One time for the one time, I want to give a shout out to Mercenary at I Am Mercenary, who tweeted hashtag NCAT, hashtag NCAT23, hashtag valedictorian, hashtag black excellence with 5 bullets. First African-American male valedictorian in Woodland history, 4.7 GPA. I just secured the bag. Number one of my class for 7 years straight, a Georgia scholar and over $1.2 million in scholarships with the cutest video ever of him, like with all the cords around his neck and just being full of personality. So shout out to Mercenary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And that's it.
Side mention, congrats to all the students in Morehouse whose their loans paid off.
What a feeling.
What a time.
Did you see the story about the dude that left, that he was part of that class, but he had left in 2017 because he couldn't afford it?
Wow.
So he's in community college now.
Damn.
And he's sick. Because he's like, I literally stopped going because I could no longer afford it. I'm hoping they kind of like make a concession.
I hope it gets back to the right people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because someone wrote an article about it and everything to kind of amplify his story. So I'm hoping they'll include him.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
What's been funny has been all the Countess Vaughn memes that people have been posting. Like, I go to Morehouse a little bit too. And then people have been posting their degrees with like scratching out the names of the university and writing in Morehouse in handwriting. It's been hilarious.
But it's sad to think, is it 40 million or 400 million? It's 40 million?
It's 40. Yeah, it was 40.
It's sad to think that one class could rack up that kind of debt.
Yep.
One class. Of students. Like, that's That's sad.
It's eye opening, right? Whew.
Meanwhile, have you seen the West End? Never mind. That's just where the school is, where Morehouse and Spelman.
You've never been over to the Morehouse campus.
You had never been to the AUC.
I don't know.
Oh my God, friend, when we go back to. We have to do a homecoming one year.
I've been to Fisk.
Not even my school, but we have to go just so you can experience it. Just so you can see all the looks and everything.
Like, that homecoming.
Legendary.
Off the chain. Literally, legendary. Like, you, it's nothing. You just go and literally just walk. It's all kind of booths, all kind of people with loud ass speakers playing music, dancing. You know what the vibe is.
I thought you said booths.
No, it was that too. Oh, okay. And boobs. All the BOOs, like they're there. But that is a good time, yes. Okay? And I literally just walked through. I didn't even realize what we was walking into. But I got with the program, baby, it was on popping, friend.
Forever.
You know what I mean? You go this year. You hear me, friend? Shout out to Morehouse.
Yes.
So you ready to jump into this week's episode?
Let's do it.
So normally we come in here with a topic and we debate and share our perspectives. But I thought it'd be fun. We haven't done this in a while where we don't have a topic. We kind of just riff and talk about whatever comes up. Sometimes you end up with a funny ass episode, a deep ass episode. You just never know. So kind of like let whatever wants to come out.
This is the raw sex episode.
Oh my God.
You don't do it a lot and you never know what's going to come out. So that's this episode.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, damn. I forgot your mom. Or, I mean, darn. I forgot your mom.
It's too late already, yeah, Dustin.
It's too late. Okay, so can I just start off on a very random note?
Please. That's the point.
Do you know, I think I told you I've been watching The Society.
Oh, yeah. I keep seeing the banner, but I haven't clicked it.
What's it about?
It's about white people. I mean, there are a few black people. But anyway, it's about these kids. They are about to go on this trip. They're like high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
They go on the trip, but then something happens, so they can't go on the trip. So when they come back to town, all of the adults are gone. So it's literally just them. Then they realize that they're cut off from the world. Now, randomly, they can their cell phones and stuff work so they can talk to each other, but they can't get an outside line. They can't reach nobody. So they're literally just stuck, I guess, in this bubble of a town. They can't leave. They never say what happens when they try to leave or anything like that. They just accept it and they're trying to do this little shit.
Who wrote it? Sheila?
Well, no, because they didn't create this town. These motherfuckers got stuck.
You know how many people are not going to catch that.
Right.
Okay. That's for the people that went to school.
Stop it. Unless they was really in their Netflix bag, then they got it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Sheila.
Meanwhile, go ahead. Sheila need to hit Kanye West with a
cease and desist.
Like, just, I see you having your church now. Now, we know who's fascist.
Copyright.
The quietness is kept. That's why Carrie Hilson changed her hair. Remember how Carrie Hilson used to wear them bangs into that mushroom cut like Sheila? Sheila hit her ass with a cease and desist.
Okay? Good.
And next thing you knew, Carrie had micros. I like this. You can. This is archived photos. Okay, you can look.
I already know what you're talking about.
And I should have saved that for QTNA, but
I'm
that's okay.
You didn't.
That's okay.
I'm actually happy it came out this way.
What have y'all been binging? Oh, first of all, do y'all know the producers of Invisibilia hit me up?
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all how Friendzone is a force. Okay, because apparently the traffic of y'all listening to the show. They were able to track it back to this and they hit me and they were like, thank you so much, which is kind of surreal. The NPR is thanking us. Like,
thank you, NPR.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I was sick though because they listened to the episode. I was like, oh,
damn,
my God.
We should have talked about Tiny Desk in that episode.
Right.
But that was super cool. I love Invisibilia. So that was like, it just was awesome because they inspired me in so many ways. And the fact that they slid in my DMs just really made my day. And they're going to send merch and everything.
So,
yes. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. So thank you to you guys. Obviously, I'm glad you're listening because the shows are really informative. And the topics they pick, I'm just like, oh, how do they think of this stuff? It's just really awesome. But the fact that they listen to us really made me laugh.
So funny.
Because our show last week was so extra silly.
So funny.
But I mean, it is what it is, who we are.
Well, if anybody needs to laugh, it's NPR. Okay? Because they are focused over there.
Oh,
so
my God,
they needed it. I'm sure it was refreshing.
I know they were.
And I also think it's really funny that we and something called Invisibilia see each other. That is just hilarious to me. So I love it.
Yeah. But along the lines, because we shared about Invisibilia and we were sharing what we've been binging, I'm curious, what other podcasts do you guys listen to? We kind of got into it, but not really.
Well, I listen to, of course, The Read. Even mm-hmm. those are my friends. Like, I listen to that. I listen to Invisibilia. I listen to Horrible Decisions because I love Mandy and Weezy.
Shout out to Full Court Pumps.
My girl Mandy, Full Court Pumps, baby. She be opening my eyes. Now, you know it takes a lot for me to be.
That ain't the only thing she be opening.
Yeah, well, me.
I mean,
is.
Not on you. I'm just saying.
Because, you know, Mandy don't mind an affair. Well, anyway. I love that. What else do I listen to? Old Tax Tone episodes. I'm not trying to give people props. It just, these are people we know.
Right. Genuinely listening.
Jade and XD, of course.
They're so funny.
Shit. I listen to all of, this is awful because I listen to a lot of the shows that like we, let me just pull up my phone. Hold on.
What about you, Asante?
I don't listen to podcasts.
You don't? Mm-mm. It's not your thing? Mm-mm. That's funny.
Only, and you know what? I always want to get into it because it's almost like an audio book, but I spend a lot of time, you know, playing video games. So I always put music on or like, I always put music on. Like when I'm watching anime, even I will put some music on since I have to read the subtitles anyway. So like, it's hard for me to sit and listen to people talk because I always want to hear like a beat and jig a little bit.
Right. That's, I mean, there are a lot of podcasters that don't listen. I didn't listen for a long time just because I didn't want my ideas to be tainted, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Complete sense.
Especially
yeah.
if it's like we're covering similar topics. Like even sometimes mm-hmm. at NPR, they're like, they, I told you I went back to 2015 when they, like their first episode, and one of the episodes I got to, they covered a topic that I literally have in my notes app.
Yeah.
As one of the topics we were going to cover about this man that's a cyborg.
Ooh.
I know. And I was sick when I heard it because they had him on the show. I'm like, hello, levels, you know.
Damn.
But I mean, I still want to cover it.
How do you make a cyborg comfortable in the studio?
But it like, talks, I mean, about
bring water. What do we do?
Outlet.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God. It talks
about, I don't know.
How far, the air gonna be how on far that we're day. Willing to integrate with technology. You yeah. know, like outside of just having a phone. Like what about when it starts getting into taking pills or connecting certain machinery to your brain?
This is my favorite genre of anime.
That's where I draw the line of people getting chips in them and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, my body is my temple.
You seen the business? It was a company where they convinced their employees to put a chip. I think yeah. it's like in their finger or their yeah. wrist so yeah. that they can come into the building.
Are you out of your motherfucking, like that? Like, work is from 9 to 5. Okay, and that's a cutoff. And that's why people call it having a work-life balance. I don't need no scanner in my damn finger for a job that I'm not going to have for the rest of my life anyway. That's ridiculous.
It might be the future, though.
Not mine.
It is the future.
Not my generation.
I just see...
Shout out to Patty LaHill.
The GOAT.
Like I'm going to be like, in my time, we had keys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be the most disgruntled, evil, crotchety, old, no scanner in the finger ass nigga you ever seen in your life. I will not do it. I'm fighting too. I'm going to the Supreme Court to take it to the end because I don't want no electricity in my body. I just don't believe in that.
That's real and believable. It's funny that you said keys just a second ago, though, because even something as basic as a door key has evolved into a car key, like card key, and then it's going to be your cell phone. And then what's going to be next when you don't want to carry around the cell phone no more?
Your hand.
Right. So I watch, that's why I said my favorite genre of anime is everything that you just said, because I feel like most shows I watch are about tech being infused with humans at some point or another. As of late, I just binged, and I still have 2 episodes left. There's an anime on Netflix called Revisions, and it's about Shibuya.
Roll call.
Shibuya
in
call.
Tokyo?
Yep.
Ooh.
In 2017, Shibuya, there's something happened, and it's a cartoon for those that don't know that anime is animation. 2017, Shibuya gets transferred to like...
I thought it was anime Bullock.
Like 20... It gets transported like a bunch of years in the future, like 38-something, 28-something.
Tina did too.
So they fight these things that are trying to attack their city that are
Tina
coming in.
Tina did that too.
Go ahead. Oh my God, Dustin. You're never going to get through this story.
And it's so quick too. So it's like the long, like you're just prolonging this, making it even harder. Look, Tina did too. Oh, God. So these things that are trying to attack the city, they later learn are hybrids. They used to be human, but the humans, because of some virus that attacked, they were fusing with machines.
Oh, shit.
And so now the more like mechanical parts that they had, because they were wondering why these things were so big, and they were like, oh, well, they're humans. They're like, well, how are they big ass bodies? How are they big body beings?
Big body beings. Cadillac DeVille, if you will.
So they were like,
awesome. I'm saying that for the rest of my life.
It's a thigh tattoo.
That is one of them tattoos. Mm-hmm. So once these people realized that they were machines or tech fused with them, they were kind of feeling bad for like killing them. But then I thought about like on Ghost in the Shell, which is a really popular series where their consciousness was in the net.
Scarlett Johansson played the Asian woman.
April Fool's.
That was very April Fool's, because she didn't, not that she did a bad job, but she had just did a movie right before called Lucy, and I felt like she was playing a lot of that same fucking character, and I'm like, you ain't Mila Jovovich. Like, when Mila Jovovich plays like the same action hero bitch, it's actually different every time.
Multipass.
Exactly. Lilu Dallas had different things. She was that. She was also, I was about to say she was Tomb Raider. That's a different one. She was Ultraviolet. She was Resident Evil. She was all these different people.
Oh, yeah, damn.
But, right, Mila Jovovich was, you know, she had a little history.
Range. I'll show you the range.
I watched that Love, Sex, and Robots.
Oh, did you? How many of them did you watch?
Not too many, because yeah, I watched one, and I was like,
it's real graphic.
Okay.
It's just graphic.
And they're cartoons.
I watched two.
And they're short as hell, but they so graphic. It's
the
like,
one, I don't know the titles.
The episodes.
I don't know the titles, obviously, but it was one. You saw all of them?
I see most of them, so I'm sure I've seen what you said.
Where, like, the girl witnessed a guy killing someone in the building.
And then it was a loop.
Didn't that happen on Living Single?
Oh my God. And then the one where the girl like fights.
Uh-huh. Did you make it through the whole thing?
That's what made me stop. That ending, I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
What happened,
friend? It is gross.
It is very.
Is it
like
a cartoon? This is anime too?
Yeah. It's different variations of animations. So like some of them are like, you know, your basic like 2D. Some of them are like cel shading, like different types of
this that we're speaking of.
Yeah.
That you're talking.
The one
about.
I each, saw. Each ep- both.
Oh,
were
each episode is different.
Well, yeah. Each episode is completely different, but they're different variations or different animations. So some of them were real like.
Why do they call it Sex, Love, and Robots?
Because those are
the
themes.
That's the theme.
So some of them are more like futuristic themes. So like, most of, I think they all were. But no, Sex, Death, and Robots. That's what
sorry.
It is. I used to call it.
Name.
No, but it looked
further
like.
Further lessening my probability and likelihood to watch.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely. The thing is, there were those hearts or whatever on the theme. So I think I used to say that too. That's why I was like, it is Sex, Love, and Robots.
That's a confusing.
Because it seems like it would be Sex, Love, and Robots. But the death part is what fucks it up.
The death need to go first, because it seemed like that was the. Yeah. Main theme, and I was like, I was
yes,
telling you
was.
Every
yes.
5 minutes,
every
I was
episode,
like, what the?
Every somebody died every episode, and they get more like they're all completely different. So it's, I guess people submitted whatever, so they're all fucked up.
But like, it's like as you keep watching, it's just like darker
and darker.
And I was like, you
darker.
Know, I don't want to play in this world.
Like one of them, there's a dude. He wakes up. He was on like a space mission, and he thinks that he's being saved, but really it's because. The alien or whatever that took over them when they crashed is putting his ass in a loop, and he thinking he with the love of his life, and then he realized it ain't her, so he's like, you know, show me who you really are. And she's like, I'm gonna show you who I really am, but just know that I love you. And then you see it's a monster ass bitch, and then she like bites it, like he screams and she screams and bites his head off or some shit. I'm like, this is fucked up.
I'm telling you,
this is too
but that's actually how face. Being in love is.
No, it's not.
You meet a motherfucker, it'd be beautiful on the outside. Y'all be so good, you know what I'm saying? Then you beg them for the duration of the relationship to show you who they really are.
And
please be real with me.
And I know you ain't see the episode, but it was real fucked up too. Because at one point, another girl in the same dream or whatever, she wakes up and she's like, this is not right. And then the alien person, she just puts the bitch back to sleep. She's like, oh, we'll just put her back down. And the dude goes with him. Like, why did he just go with it? Why did
he ain't
want
to get put down either. Shit.
He didn't realize.
He can't
realize.
Beat him, join him.
He thought his girl was saving him.
Shit.
I just, like we were talking about, I don't know if it was the week before last, we were talking about sensitivity to what you're watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting more sensitive with age.
Because
I used
really?
To be able
I don't
to
think
watch
that's what it is.
Anything. Like, I've never liked horror or gore. Like, mm-hmm. That's never been my thing. But I could watch it to a certain extent. But now it's like, I can't. Like, even the new Ava DuVernay.
Oh yeah, we were or When They See Us.
Right, When They See Us. Her new, it's a movie, right?
It's a based mini-series on the story about the Central Park
mini-series.
Five.
Yep. Okay, I don't think I can watch it.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, my body, as soon as I saw it and people were sharing the trailer and the clips, my body
it's
reacted.
Extremely triggering.
Yeah, because even we know what happens, and there's it's that same feeling of, like, I can't do this to myself.
It's very real, I'll say that. And it's also going to, what I appreciate most about this project, and I really wish that I could have been a part of this, because I would have loved to be a part of telling this story. I think it's going to be really impactful.
Oh, of course.
And I think that it's just very necessary. And even the cinematography from the trailer, the lighting, the scenes that I saw, once you know the story, and if you're familiar, you're from New York, so
no,
I'm sure
yeah,
you
I
are.
Mean,
how could we not
I
be?
I know exactly
when
what
you
the
know
story
those
is.
Details, it's just it is literally going to be riveting to see. So I'm a watch, you
and even the
saying?
One with the young man from that he died in Rikers,
yeah,
that I think Jay-Z had something to do with the documentary being created or produced, rather. What was his name?
Khalif
Browder.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't watch it,
yeah.
It's like I want to support. But I also just can't, like, my I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm becoming way more sensitive than ever.
I've always pretty much had the same, and it's crazy because your life goes through so many different phases and so many different interpretations, right? But I've always had pretty much the same sensitivities to things when I see them. When I was a kid and I would see people like on the side of the road with, you know, we'll work for food signs and stuff like that, I would cry until we got home.
Really?
Hell yeah. And
oh
even
God,
to this day,
Destin.
That bothers me until I moved to New York. And I'll never forget that day that that man, there was a gentleman who was asking for change by shaking his cup. Make you know how people jingle yeah. the change in a cup. And I didn't have anything on me, so I was walking past. And so, but as I continued walking, he looked at me and he like shook it hard at me like I said,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's when I had a little bit of a turnaround moment when it came to my sensitivity with that.
Really?
But yeah, other than that, I just hate to see people in really vulnerable positions. It does something to me. I can't like seeing the grandmama on Star, which I'm still
recovering from that.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That's
God
why I've been back since.
So anyway, because I just got angry again. But yes, like I couldn't watch that scene when the grandmother was raped. Things like that are hard for me. Violence really doesn't bother me as long as it is not something that's like extreme in nature, like a kid versus an adult or something like that. But just a fight or people getting murked on camera, I'd give it to me, baby.
I can't. Even when those videos be like fight videos that go viral
fights.
On Twitter, I cannot. There's something about the sounds and when the hand connects and they hit like that like crunch sound. I can't. I think maybe it's because I've worked so hard to lower my stress chemicals from coming from neighborhoods where that was our reality every day.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I don't have to feel that way, like on a physical level, I can't even play into like simulated fear anymore.
Girl,
what about
I love
like,
fights.
Mm-mm.
What about like action movies then? Like when they have fights and those parts are gory, can you do that?
I can do fights like kind of, you know, Black Panther.
Yeah.
But it wasn't gory.
Yeah.
It was like a dance in
but
a
like,
way that
what about
I can
like
do
in James Bond, but like it gets a little bloody or something like that.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I normally have to. You see me and Crystal, we be like,
okay.
What about on 135th and Lennox?
That's exactly
when we're
what I'm
past,
saying.
We see, you know,
that's exactly
yeah,
what
not
I'm
like
saying.
A good fight. I'm gonna move out the way, but I'm gonna get a good view.
No, I can't.
And then like what's funny is as the fight takes place, when you're watching, you end up moving with the fight, yeah. whether you know it or not. So like you're watching and you start moving, and, ooh, and you move from side to side. Fights
know.
Be good.
And I then, hate those.
I'll tell you, it's one if of them. You've seen that account on Twitter? It's like 30-second fights or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but fight videos.
No, no.
Baby, I'll go down the rabbit hole and watch them get it in.
If you don't like fights or action stuff like that, definitely don't go see the new John Wick.
Isn't that what it like completely
the whole
is
thing? So I had never watched, first of all, I had never watched John Wick. Not because I wasn't interested, I just never did. And I was like, let me see if this is good enough for a motherfucking Migos song. So action wise, I see why. Because the way, like, it ain't just I'm a pistol up your ass. It's like pistol whip, you're gonna see the steel and the blood and the blood spatter, and might hear a crunch too. Like it's Ooh. Like
it's like a video
it's
game,
like, crunch,
like a live action
crunch.
Video game.
And, but the fights are so long.
What are these movies about? Like, who is John?
So
Wick?
John Wick is a retired.
And that's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves. He's a retired
who
killer.
Identifies as a person of color. Did y'all know that?
Assassin.
Yeah, he's Asian. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but
right?
he had a I didn't know this, mm-hmm. but he issued a statement this week or whatever saying how he identifies as a person of color or whatever, yeah. and you hoes better recognize.
Really?
That's what he said.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, never shit.
Takes you all the way back to that Rush video, don't it?
Oh my God.
Okay, Whoa. With Keanu.
Right. Damn. Kinda...
Okay, hurry, hurry, lover, come to me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, John Wick is an assassin. He lead a gang for love. His girl, she died any damn way. So then he get asked to come back to fight. Oh no, he's not asked to come back. His girl dies. He's mourning her. Somebody, if you're going to watch the shit, just watch
shit. Yeah, but that ain't
your responsibility. I'm giving you one. This is like one and two any damn way. So like in the first one, he lost his girlfriend because she died or whatever. So then he out one night. Somebody fucks up his car. They come to his house, kill his dog. He's like the top number one
bad
assassin.
Luck bastard.
Jeez.
But Jesus. they just did it not realizing it was John Wick. So when it happened, he's just quietly like going about like, all right, well, I'm about to go fuck these niggas up and kill them. And everybody's like pissed off. Like these the guys, they took John Wick's car to the chop shop and it's John Leguizamo. He's like, I'm not taking this fucking car. Like this
John Leguizamo.
Who is
John Wick.
Every time I see John Leguizamo, I'm happy. So when they pull up to John Leguizamo, he's like, oh, that's John Wick's car. I'm not taking that shit. And then the dude's dad calls John Leguizamo. He's like, why the fuck did you not do that? And he's like, oh, because that's John Wick's car. And then the dude was like, oh. Hangs up the phone. And he's like, you did something stupid. John Wick's coming to kill your ass.
So he's basically an ex-gang member.
No, assassin. Like,
assassin.
A number one assassin. Like, the top
for
assassin.
For the government?
For the black market. Like, the underground. Like,
okay, got you.
And highly respected. So there's, like, a hotel where all the assassins go to. Like, if you pay in, like, this is currency. It's one gold coin. Each thing costs one gold coin. It's all the people in this black market.
That's why they be handing us that shit in Times Square.
No, they be asking for money when they hand you that shit in Times Square.
You saying the assassin hotel is in Times Square?
I don't know. They shit. Always trying to pass me gold coins. I ain't never accepted because I always felt like something was up.
Right. I'm like, did you hex this?
But why are
like,
you passing me gold coins? Maybe that's why.
So you can come to the comedy
club. But those ain't even coins. Them be them little gold foil sticker things. And I'm like, why would I give you money for this? This is not going to last me a day. Like, this.
And why? I don't even, you ain't even told me why you're giving
right.
it to me.
You just handed it
me
to
this
me.
Shit. I don't want that shit.
Can't do that shit.
And wait, dialing it back to the Shy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the lead?
I did, and I just don't know enough. So Jason Mitchell, who mm-hmm. plays one of the leads, who was also in Mudbound, who was also in so many other
His
projects.
Eazy-E.
In Straight Outta Compton, which, well, anyway, because the casting. But anyway, he lost it all. He's been dropped by his agency, dropped by his management, lost Damn. His gig on The Shy. He had another movie, I want to say it was coming on Netflix, that he was the lead in. He lost that. And now it's come forward that there were several sexual misconduct allegations made against him, one of which was by the girl Damn. Who plays Jerrica on the Shy, who was his character's girlfriend.
Right.
And wow. the article I read today, which the details are just starting to come out,
yeah.
and all this is allegedly... Allegedly. Anyway.
Alleged.
But they said that she had filed multiple complaints
right.
in addition to other people. So.
Wow.
I don't know.
I mean, how, like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
Me either. When you work so hard for
something. You work so hard to mm-hmm. get to this point. You finally reach a point. You know how many people are auditioning day in and day out and never make it?
Yeah. And so.
You make it and you. Don't even have the awareness. Like, oh my God.
I don't understand that, but I think it's something wrong with people who, obviously there's something wrong with people who do these types of things. So I just don't understand the psyche.
It's self-sabotage.
It's just, how can you literally fight for something for your entire adult life, an opportunity, a shot? You put all this faith in that and then you just mishandle it so grossly in the end. Like, I don't get it, but that's why I don't do it. So,
right.
you know. And
the
even
fact
made
that it
yet.
Had to be multiple complaints.
Right.
for it to start.
For it to be taken seriously and actions to be taken. Wow.
And they only followed up because of this. This decision was made after the producers received information about an alleged Offset incident. So it's crazy that people were making complaints set about shit.
Oh my God, Dustin.
It's crazy people would make complaints on set, but they didn't do anything until something Offset happened. That's crazy.
Well,
I wonder if the details of that. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what on earth?
What the fuck? I saw a cast photo of them. They were on a red carpet. It was the cast of The Chi, and he was standing next. It's so funny, the photos that these media outlets are choosing when they report on these stories, right? Mm-hmm. So the picture I saw today, it was a cast photo of The Chi, and they were on a red carpet, and Jason Mitchell was standing next to the young lady that plays Jerrica, and he had his hand like on her hip, like around her back, but his hand was like around her hip, and her face, her facial expression was literally like, it was just
like, get off me,
basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just subtle things like that sometimes are hidden literally in plain sight, but and now that I know this information, it's like I automatically go to that when I look at the picture. So it's just something that I didn't pick up on.
And how men do that day to day, day in and day out, like even at the gym.
Yeah.
When I'm like walking out or a man's like passing me, they always have to put their hand on the small of my back to say, excuse me. You know, like little things like that that y'all don't even realize sometimes. It's like, you don't have to touch us.
Right.
So get your damn hands off of me, friend. That's what you're telling me.
If I'm standing next to you, you don't have to touch any, like, just. Yeah. But it's so common. It's a common practice.
I'm tired of getting touched, too, to be honest with you. And I really get it bad. I told you, I be getting it bad because they, you know, they'd be like, well, you just ain't had the right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean women?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You did tell me that.
I'm telling you, man. Because they people know I'm cool about shit. So they know, like, you know what I'm saying?
You ain't had the right.
He ain't going to be really tripping. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you bitches finna start keeping your hands to yourself. Okay? This next meet and greet, if I feel one brush, okay, on a bulge, I'm telling you now.
Dustin.
I'm dropping you.
What
I'm
going to fuck with you.
If I feel one more, if you hug me and push your titties on my chest, I'm telling you now, I'm dropping your whole
mouth. Are you telling me that we have fans that do a size check?
Yeah. They tell and literally be blatantly like telling me different things like, ooh, I seen that, you know, from the set, from the audience or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
What do you say when this happens?
I'd be like, shut up, you're so nasty. I'll start laughing and play it off or something like that and then speed the process along.
Right, because it's awkward as fuck.
You know. But after a while, you'd be like, look, bitch, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my
God, don't be doing that shit to me, you know what I'm saying? So I decided this is the year. I'm standing up for me and my body. No more, okay? You know what I'm saying? Y'all finna hug me like they slow dance at middle school dances on TV sitcoms. You know how the arms be extended and they slow dance like this? That's how we hugging from now on.
Baby, oh, I'm going to do right.
Sorry, friend. So that's once again, we
didn't
see
know
each
this
other.
Was happening.
Y'all know, because I'll be wanting to burden you. You know what I'm saying? And I can handle it, you know? And y'all be knowing when y'all mess up. Y'all look at me and be like, I shouldn't have done that. That's what they look at me saying. You know what I'm saying? I just keep it moving because, you know, I'm okay. But yeah,
I'm
I see
right now. Oh my God.
And they be looking like gospel singers when they do it too. God. You know how they be coming to our show in like long skirt. They be so unassuming. They'll have on like a long pleated skirt. Like a gray t-shirt and a blue jean jacket. You know what I'm saying?
Like gospel singers.
And but you know that's how the young gospel singers look, to be cool, for, you know, to make the young people feel comfortable with listening to gospel. They dress cool, you know. They be looking like youth pastors. But they do it to hide their bosom. And so you don't realize like that shirt is tucked in. It'd be a high-waisted skirt.
They do it to do what?
Hide their bosom. So the skirt be high-waisted, the shirt be tucked in, and there'll be none under that but titties. That's what's underneath the blue jean jacket part. So when they hug me, you know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, they take the plunge. And I didn't want to, you know? So that's what I'm saying.
I didn't want to.
I'm telling you, you got to peep it. There's a profile. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show y'all.
Oh.
Me three, motherfuckers. I'm going to show y'all.
That was delicious.
I am stunned right now.
Chow.
Chow. Okay. That's what I'm going to say is I'm booting your ass off the front of the stage. You ain't going down the steps.
Oh my God.
I'm going to turn to your eye and do you like I told you how that boy did me in high school.
face hurts.
Oh my God.
So do my feelings. I'm tired of this disrespect. You know what I'm saying?
I'm upset.
Anyway.
Ooh, all right.
Jeez Louise. I cannot.
I'm like, where do we even
have you been binging shows or just podcasts?
I mean, Invisibilia has been like my main binge, mm-hmm. but I have been, I watched Dead to Me with Christina Applegate.
She's a great actor. So what was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. I figured out what the plot twist was pretty early. Mm-hmm. I hate when that happens. Damn. Like you just like, it's, I know what's
going on. 30 minutes each?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, maybe not.
Oh, 45 maybe hours?
Maybe it is
long?
A longer show. Okay, I can't really remember, but it is good.
Their promo looked great when they were like laying back in that pool.
Yeah, it's very like dark comedy, which I tend to like. Yeah, it's not, if I remember, there's no gore or anything.
So it's like Good Times. Good Times was a dark ass comedy. No, I don't care what nobody said.
You know what was dark but not a comedy that I like?
Good Times was depressing.
What's the show on HBO? 6 Feet Under.
Oh yeah, I was revisiting. Damn, you took it back.
Because you know why I really liked it? Because Dexter, well, whatever his real name is, sorry, I can't think of it right now. His character, he had the black boyfriend, or I think they got married at some point or whatever, and that just really touched me. I remember being younger watching that,
and that was a long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah. So I remember being young watching them. I'm like, I don't know why this black man is with this white man, but it's good to see a gay couple.
You know what show I did start? Because I've been wanting to watch it for years and I just never got around to it. I finally started The Sopranos.
I knew you was going to say The Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
Okay, how far in are you?
I just started. I'm going to start from the beginning too.
I am too then, y'all. Let's do it.
We can talk about it. Yes. Cute.
I used to love watching them in The Therapist and the kids.
That's where I'm at now. He just started seeing The Therapist. Oh,
Connie.
It's really that good.
What?
I mean, it got me drawn in.
I'm just talking about The Therapist. Like, there are way better parts of The Sopranos than that. But, you know, even that turns into something. But yes.
Okay, I'm excited. Yeah. Because obviously I remember when it was coming on, but I just never...
I feel like
I caught random episodes here and there. And unfortunately, I know how it ends.
Yeah.
Because I remember when that came out. But I'm just going to sit with it and try to binge it, which I'm excited because it's hella seasons, right?
Did you ever watch The Godfather or any of the movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love The Godfather.
Yeah. It's three, right?
Yeah.
I need to rewatch it as a pothead.
The Godfather is amazing. My mama loved that movie, which was crazy because we couldn't do shit else, but you let us, we watched The Godfather, you know what
really?
I'm saying?
I'm surprised that
like,
was
why
a
is The Godfather your favorite movie, girl? But I can't go out this weekend, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, but remember when he woke up with that horse head in the damn bed?
I will never forget that.
That made me realize that life can get serious sometimes. At a very young age, I was like, okay, so this really ain't a game. Like, all right, okay. Leslie Jones,
Wait, what else are you watching? Because I need some stuff. I know Jay told me to start watching Jailbirds because she loves a jail show.
You know, I saw them leaning down in that toilet talking, and I was like, it's certain shit about jail I just don't need to know.
No pun intended.
Yeah, certain shit. I just don't need to know. You know what I'm saying? I don't really want an inside look. I don't want to know what it's like.
Fascinating, though. It's like they're engineers. See, like, they who are. Sat here and figured out that if you tie t-shirts and put spoons and then push it down, you can go all the way to like different floors, and they pass notes, they pass bags of chips. Dog, they pass all kinds of stuff. Commissary, love letters, you name it.
Well, I was doing some research.
No, you wasn't. You ran across the tweets, and I know exactly what you're about to talk about. You nasty ass. Look, I know exactly what you're about to talk about.
Actually, I didn't run across the tweets.
Asante After Dark. Here you go.
Look, and actually, I didn't run across the tweets. I was doing some research and ran across the video.
What video?
There is a video. First of all, it is an
series.
OnlyFans account full of videos.
Are you familiar with OnlyFans?
I know what it is. Okay. Yeah.
So it is videos of people, of men in jail.
Okay.
Like in jail, like the jail shoes. Because that's what got me at first.
But that's smart. Make your money.
Yes, it's smart. It's just perplexing because
commissary.
It's perplexing. But look, and that's what I thought too. Like, you better make that commissary.
Yeah.
But it's perplexing because, you know, they have their cell phone. you know, in the jail, and they doing like the whole like recording, and you hear like the people in like the main room, like you can hear people like, I guess,
like out. It's a true experience.
Imagine,
yeah, but people have been had cell phones because I there are people on Instagram. Yes.
Yeah, they have with a whole thriving social media.
People
lives.
With Snapchat filters on their face and everything behind bars. Yeah. It's just so crazy to me because in my mind I'm thinking about watching 60 Days In and the people like in the main room. And then they back here doing their OnlyFans video.
60 niggas so like, in.
With a tattoo that says blessed.
Yeah.
On where?
Oh, I don't know if this is the blessed ass cheeks person, but the account is called something blessed. Like,
it must be. The correlation is too uncanny.
There are a lot of things that happen. So
how you getting clapped in jail with blessed on your ass, like pink, like you got on some Victoria's Secret pink sweat, but it's a tattoo going across your ass that say blessed.
I think that's cute. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder though, how
you know why he got
it? It split up like BLESSED on the other.
Maybe I think you got to split the S's. It won't be even, but
so the crack goes in between, like. So like those puzzle necklaces.
You blessed.
You know why he got it?
You blessed.
You know why he got it? Because he knew his ass was going to hell.
Or because he knew his ass was blessed.
His ass was going to hell. He wanted a label. Okay. Oh, so they knew, send me back up, God damn it. Yeah, wow. So they said, so basically, finish your statement.
They
so
was
you
behind
did,
the bars.
So you were doing
I
your
was doing
research.
My research, and I seen that they
were
was
in
real,
the field.
They was really behind bars. It was very perplexing to watch, like to see the...
Was the video good?
You know what? For its standards, yes. Because they were talking, they were, you know, very verbal, and it wasn't like awful. It was like, they sound like they're enjoying this.
Now,
like,
to me, right, having to have, being in jail... It's awful. So I not gonna get me hired. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. I don't like that's like a.
That's a turn off for a lot
like
of people.
Worst night.
It
like,
wasn't doing it for me, but it was just like they sounded like they were enjoying it, which I was like, wow. Because you know, I would think in jail they would. It would. They were like he was sounding like he enjoyed it. I was like, wow.
Well, sex fun.
I mean, well, yes, but you know, some of them videos, they be sounding wrong or they be acting like
Where
they never did it before.
Where did this episode go? This
Look,
is what happens.
Jail.
When
Look, because, so I'm going to take it back. Look, jail sex. So on HBO's Oz, you know,
oh
when
Lord.
They was behind bars, it didn't look pleasurable per se. Like, it always looked like some shit was popping
out of BC.
Yo, like, you see out of BC coming, you running for real because you really don't know what he's going to do to you. And then we was talking about scat earlier. Do you remember that episode of Oz where somebody shat on somebody?
Okay, we have to stop here.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm just
this
saying.
This shit is getting ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. Oz was a blessed. Great show, though. I used to sneak and watch that.
You snuck and watched
How
it?
How old were we when Oz came out?
Too little.
Too little.
But I watched it. Oz Too was little. Good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I always wonder how he kept the hat on.
Right.
Out of BC.
Right.
And it was like leaning.
Like, you got some bobby pants under here, but you ain't got no hair.
And the first time I saw old boy in another role walking on 2 feet and not in that
yes.
wheelchair, I was like.
Oh, didn't y'all say he's in something
he's
now?
He's in Star.
He
was.
Star.
He was.
The show y'all got canceled. That y'all jinxed.
I just got upset all over again, and I still Lee Daniels. I'm waiting on my phone to ring.
I'm still
mad,
me.
And we're gonna talk about it.
Shout out to
Gigi. Hold your blessed ass to the fire.
Hello. On that note, that's it for this week's very random,
very random,
very free hot button issue. You ready?
MAC Powder Kiss Lipstick is the moisture matte lipstick of your dreams. It's matte reinvented. MAC's new matte formula feels weightless, instantly hydrates, and doesn't dry out your lips, which is so important because you do not want to be looking like Pookie off New Jack City. It was originally developed as a backstage trend for a soft matte look, so it's backstage tested and artist approved. Many other matte lipsticks are drying, but the Powder Kiss lipstick is where matte meets moisture. The velvety soft matte colors glide on effortlessly, providing instant long-term hydration that doesn't dry out your lips, so you get the zero shine look of a matte lipstick with the lightweight feel of a balm in Gilead. The Powder Kiss lipstick comes in 24 gorgeous colors with a wide range of pinks, nudes, reds, and plums to complement any skin tone. The weightless, cushiony texture of the Powder Kiss lipstick is the perfect way to amplify your look this spring. Let me tell you something about MAC lipstick. My mom and my sisters have worn this for years. I can remember way, way back in the day when they researched in these magazines Russian Red lipstick by MAC. And they went and drove like 45 miles to this mall to go get it. This was like years ago. So my family has been had a longstanding relationship with MAC's lipstick. And they ain't had no crusty lips. So I believe in this product. Get into a totally new lip experience with the Powder Kiss lipstick. Head to your nearest MAC location to meet your MAC today, or you can shop at maccosmetics.com.
But are you ready to jump into the wellness segment?
Mm-hmm.
Bring in the wind chimes. So when you guys are on vacation, or I don't know, when's the last time you went on vacation?
November.
Oh, no, St. Lucia.
Yes.
Did you guys use sunscreen? Tell the truth. No. You were on the beach.
Oh, actually,
yes.
Somebody did have sunscreen. Yes. I kept spraying
not
on.
Somebody did have sunscreen.
Yes.
But that's not your wave to like really take care of your skin and put it on.
When I was in Miami, I put on sunscreen. But normally I always forget, like, oh, I need to pack some sunscreen. But I do have a bottle of some Black Girl sunscreen that we got a long time ago.
Yeah.
I have that. Oh, that's what we're doing?
Yeah.
Oh,
my bad. No, that was perfect segue.
Perfect.
It's just a beautiful bottle. You know, it's all black and gold. It looks real regal and shit. So
do you use it, Dustin?
Yes. Well, I use sunscreen whenever I'm gonna be in the sun for like a long time. So actually I did. Shout out to the AIDS Walk New York. I was out there this Sunday for that, and I put a little bit on my arms. My legs was covered up, but I put a little bit on my forearms and my face because I was going to be out in the sun like that.
And
so,
it was super hot.
Yeah,
it was like
80
degrees that day,
yeah.
I think.
Walk around looking like a old ass Dooney and Burke in the face because you ain't ever used no sunscreen. No.
Which screen. One do you use? Do you know the
SPF?
Name?
Oh, no, I don't. You know.
You grab whatever's in the house.
Banana boat.
Like, oh, banana, like, whatever.
What's the best? What's the best
high
PF?
The one for babies. You get the real high one. Yeah.
Should I always go higher when I'm getting SPF?
I mean, I personally use 30 and up.
Yeah.
Just because I've been the one that's like, I don't want, you know, I want to be brown. So I'll get like 15. The one that's like 2. But obviously my skin suffers for it. So I definitely get 30, 35. That's usually the range I stay in. But like Asante said, Black Girl Sunscreen sent us a huge box that we ripped open. And I was so excited about it because I never heard of it. And I thought that was a pretty cool name. I tweeted about it and people were like, yes, that's the one that I use. They were saying that it's like their favorite. My favorite part about it, obviously, I haven't had the chance because I haven't really been in the sun like that to really, really, really test it out, is that it doesn't leave a white cast.
Thank the Lord.
Which for us, especially us, you know, having melanin can be pretty tricky when you're using it because it's definitely...
Oh, you ashy. Like, no, I'm not. It's the sunscreen.
And it gives you that tint in your face. It just never rubs in and then it starts melting and...
Look all milky and nasty.
Yeah, and it looks milky in your face, so... I love the Black Girl sunscreen. Obviously, that was their aim for it to give you a tint. And obviously, it still does what it's supposed to do in protecting
your
skin.
Black Girl sunscreen.
But I love it. So I definitely wanted to tell people about it. Those of you who have not used it, who have not heard of it, you can just... Actually, it's available at Target now.
Hey, I can get out the Target.
You can go get it at Target.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
I was looking and I saw that it's... Now, I did see it on Target online, so I can't fully confirm if it's in stores, but it's definitely on Target online. And of course, they have their own website, which is blackgirlsunscreen.com. I'm on their website right now. You can get, and it's SPF 30. It says it's sunscreen made by women of color for people of color because we get sunburned too. What I love is that it's cruelty free. It's natural. It's vegan. They say they've created a sunscreen for everyday use. So I know a lot of people don't think to put sunscreen just to walk outside, but it is very important.
Very necessary.
Because you don't want to get sunspots as you get older. Right. We've worked to create a product filled with natural ingredients. That will protect your skin from the sun. And it also doubles as a moisturizing lotion. I will say it was very moisturizing because a lot of times you feel like it doesn't really seep into your skin.
Right.
It kind of like sits at the top.
Right.
But this one definitely penetrates. It dries completely clear So it's perfect to use before any outdoor activity. Or for those of you who wear makeup, it's perfect for your makeup products, which I think is a big deal. So that, I love it because it has avocado in it. And that's an oil that I use on my skin a lot, especially in the warmer temps. So that's, it reduces, it's known to reduce the signs of aging and it treats sunburn. So I love that it's already in there. It has vitamin E. We already know how that works for our skin. I'm trying to see what else it has. Jojoba, cacao, carrot juice, sunflower. sunflower oil. So it's loaded with really, really great nutrient heavy ingredients. So that's one I wanted to tell you about. Now, I know y'all are going to yell at me because it's probably going to sell out. So here's a second option. Super Goop. Have you ever heard of it?
Because she's a super goop. Super
And look how
goop,
they sell the tub.
Oh, it's cute. Yeah.
This one's SPF 50.
Nah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's water resistant, which is another good one, too. Because, you know, when you get in the beach and you come out and that shit's just like dripping down your face. So it's perfect for everyday use on the face and body, which I love. It's fast absorbing. It's lightweight, ultra moisturizing. Now, this one I have used, the Black Girl sunscreen. Like I said, I tried it on my arm just to see the consistency and to check out if the white casts, you know, they're saying it wasn't there, to make sure it wasn't.
Make sure you weren't going to be looking like Sammy Sosa once you put it on.
Oh, my God. But this one I have used. It is amazing. I love that they sell a large tub in case you want to just grab it for the entire summer. You can apply it to your face. That's the thing, too. My face is really sensitive. So I've been able to use sunscreens on my body, and then something about my face that always just does not work out. I end up breaking out or having some kind of like allergic reaction. With this one, I haven't had any issues. It has sunflower extract, rosemary leaf extract. So it's packed with really powerful ingredients. I just love that these are natural alternatives to sunscreen. Sometimes you assume you need all those chemicals. Obviously, you need certain chemicals, but I love that it's power packed as well. And it's good for kids. It's kid friendly as well. So that's Super Goop. And then lastly, because I recently, for Maya's birthday, I posted pictures of us on my IG stories. And
yes, they one were of the so pictures, cute.
And she's so cute. One of the pictures I posted was of my tan. Remember when I was like super mocha?
Yes, a black woman. Yes.
For
you
like
get that
a
Solange
week.
Tan.
And people were like, yo, you got to remind us what your tanning recipe was. I'm like, you know what? I'll bring that back, especially because today I was already planning on talking about sunscreen. So here is how it works. Do not, you know how when you go to the beach, and this is obviously for those of you who are going to lay out and swim, that's when I get my best tan. You know, when you go to the beach, you kind of like apply it.
Yes.
You know how you apply
it. You lather it all over.
Slap it on.
You're supposed to, but some people really don't. They just put it like a little, they put that line down their nose, put it like under their
like
eyes, on their cheek.
To try to rip it in.
That's so crazy because the sun gonna hit everything. You gotta.
But I've seen how people apply it. They just are very liberal with it. So the thing is, I apply it from head to toe as if it were lotion. Like I'm talking about the same way
see,
you apply
that's the thing,
your cream.
A lot of people don't lotion.
Right. They don't have that reflex.
It's right.
But I apply it as if it were lotion. I'm talking about thick layers of it, especially that these don't leave casts, so you don't have to feel weird about how you look. But be, to be honest, I would be on the beach with white skin and was like, oh, well.
Right.
I'd rather look like that now.
Red.
Yeah, I'd rather look like that on the beach than to be peeling and hurting. And then you lay down and you can't even sleep right because your back hurts and the skin hurts.
Looking
and
like a lobster.
And then you got to put aloe so you're burnt and oily looking. Don't want to play
aloe
with that.
Aloe beer gel be smelling so good.
So the trick is, please apply it the same way you would put lotion. Lay out. Also be mindful of how long you're laying out. I used to be that person that would lay out all day. If you're going to lay out all day, remember that you have to reapply. You cannot sit there from 9 in the morning until 3 or 4 or 5 when the sun's going down and think that that one application is going to last you that whole time, especially if you went in the water.
Duh.
Reapply it. Actually, reapply it a couple of times if you're out there long. Now that I'm older and I am more concerned with my skin health, I try not to lay out more than like 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's baked enough. You know, I feel like a piece of chicken out on the beach. That's enough baking. And I do a good 2-3 hours. I make sure I get my swim on, come back out.
Drink, get hydrated.
Tons of water. Yeah. That's equally as important. I think that's something that people forget. They lay on the beach drinking beer, which is fine, or your liquor, it's but make sure you give a little bit of water hydration internally as well. So that is definitely a big tip. And then when you go back to your hotel room, take a cold shower so that your skin can cool off.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one for my skin. It always helps so that there's no burning. It helps kind of like refresh the skin. And
yeah,
then
draw
I put
you up. And draw you right up. Every soon as you do it,
I was
you're looking good when you get out there. Why draw you up?
And then you know how when you come out the shower, you really see how dark you are. You be like, oh shit! Yeah. And you put on your white outfit.
Yes, ready to roll. Coming downstairs like, hey, y'all ready?
With your hair wet, looking so cute. Ooh, yep. I need a tan, boy. So okay, so after that, here's a part where you're gonna have to experiment and be the scientist, because it works differently for different skin types. Some people's skin is really dry, some people's skin is oily, depending if you're normal, even whatever it is. Some people put the oil first and then the moisturizer. I was reading and it says that if your skin's oily, you might want to put the oil first and then the moisturizer.
Okay.
If we have any estheticians or dermatologists or skincare,
even a stale
experts,
anybody. Yeah.
I would love for you guys to jump in with your expertise. But this is a part where I have told people to try it, because I had to try it both ways to see which one my skin responded to best.
What agreed with you? Yeah.
What agreed with me, because it's going to be different. What I agreed with me is putting the oil first.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of needed my skin to absorb that first. I didn't want to create any barrier for it. And then I put the moisturizer. The oil that I use is by Acure.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, argan oil. The Moroccan argan oil.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice, subtle, nutty smell, but it's nothing too thick or like overpowering. I put that all over like a thick layer. Your skin needs it. Think of you just sat there and fried it.
Yeah.
Put it all. It's really pretty because you look all tan and like,
because you really are baking
glowy.
Like a chicken.
You're really glowing.
Super glowy. And then you put the moisturizer just for that extra boost of hydration, because you're going to need that as much as possible.
Especially the heels of your foot.
So for the moisturizer, my personal fave when I'm on vacation is called the Honey Butter by Josie Maran. I never know if her name is Maran or Maran. It's Maran.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I always say Maran.
I know who you're talking about.
But you know, because you see at Sephora.
That's a nice name for a boy or a girl.
Maran.
Maran. Mm-hmm.
That is pretty.
That is
Maran.
A good name.
So I don't know if it's Maran or Maran, but you
nah,
know who
Maran,
it is. It's
all
Josie.
Bets are off. Well, if it's Maran, that's dope.
Maran.
So she has a cream, a moisturizer. It's called Honey Butter. Oh, it's so good. The smell, actually, I'm going to bring it in next week because y'all have to smell it. It is heaven. It's actually, I will say, one of the things that makes it problematic is that it's so good, it's never at Sephora.
Damn.
Never. I've never been able to buy
Maybe
it at
you
Sephora.
You
got
to go back to Sephora.
I don't really, because I get all my stuff online. Because all the stuff I like is always sold out. Like the Tata Harper, the Josie Maran creams. I love her argan oil and the honey butter.
Crystal was telling me about that facial.
Yes, her and Gordy were telling me we should go check it out. Yeah. Even though I'm scared of like, I need like a...
Hey, you could just watch them do it to me. I'll take the facial.
Because if they do an extraction and leave my face looking crazy, I'm going to be mad.
See, they better not do that to me. I can't walk in there looking all right and then leave looking like,
beat
damn,
up.
Why did you go in there? Like, what the fuck?
But I want you to try that. So try the Moroccan oil, the Acure. It's A-C-U-R-E. I've mentioned it before. I've posted it on IG years ago. It's been on my YouTube channel. So I'm sure if you followed me, you already know about it.
Right.
So use that first.
Follow me,
and Karen. Then the Honey Butter by Josie. Or use the Honey Butter first and then seal it with the Acure Moroccan oil. Try both ways. See which one gives you the best results. So when you wake up in the morning, look at your skin and be like, yes, this is the combination that works for me. You'll have to be the scientist for that one. And that's it. That's literally all it is. And you guys saw in the picture, that it's on my IG that I posted with my, I think it was like her 5th year anniversary party where I went to LA and I was super mocha.
You had on that cute little,
the yellow sweater,
the yellow crop sweater.
Yeah.
So
and the beauty of the tan was because I had applied the sunscreen so perfectly, mm-hmm. the tan was even. Like I had no discoloration, no spots, nothing. I had no peeling.
Your tan lasted a long time too.
It was like months.
Yeah.
Beautiful tan. Like that's what let me know I had really mastered the art of tanning. And ever since I've done that mixture since. So do not be afraid of sunscreen, you guys. It's healthy. You need it. I know a lot of us for a long time, especially me, I never use sunscreen. I would just lay out on the beach because I assume like I'm black. I don't really need it like that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, to tear your ass up. That tan was so good. I thought Fran had a little, you know how you go to the auto show and the cars be on them rotating platforms? I thought she had pulled one of them motherfuckers out to the beach and just laid there, stood there and spun around. You know what I'm saying? That's how even her tan was. It was gorgeous.
Beautiful tan. My back was even. You know how sometimes because you lay, depending on how you lay, it just won't, the color won't be the same in the back.
Back be looking like stained glass.
So that's the recipe. The sunscreen that I have used in those occasions, or I should say in that picture that you guys were talking about that I posted yesterday, that was Badger. Mm-hmm. B-A-D-G-E-R. They have a sports one. They have a lavender one. It's all natural ingredients as well. It's actually my favorite. The only thing with Badger is that it does leave a white cast. Even though I did go on their Instagram and it seems like they've updated their formula recently to make sure that it doesn't leave a white cast. I haven't tested it. I haven't tried out the new formula, but I did see people in the comments thanking them for keeping that in mind. So you're in luck if you've never bought Badger because you're going to get this new formula. So you have Badger as an option. You have Super Goop, SuperGoop. And you have Black Girl Sunscreen. You can find all three on Amazon if you need to get it ASAP because I know a lot of you will be probably on the beach or something for Memorial Day. Yeah. So I'm helping you out before you're at the cookouts and the barbecues. So that's it. That's it for this week's wellness segment. Take care of your skin so we can stay youthful and beautiful for as long as we can.
That's right. And thank you, Fran.
Yeah.
Black girl sunscreen.
Sante, what you got for us, Mr. Music Man?
Welcome to the Music Man segment. Yeah. Music Man segment. Dustin is shimmying or shaking his chest like T.S. Madison. I'm not really sure which one. So much has happened this week in music, but so much happens every week in music. And so much happens every week in life. With that said, on Twitter, there was a trending topic that was called First Cartoon Crush. And it made me wonder.
First Cartoon Crush.
Right. Okay, well, let's answer that first and then we'll get to my actual question. Do you know who your first cartoon crush was?
I wasn't really a cartoon. Like
a lot of people were posting Jessica Rabbit under this thread, and I was like, "Damn, I wasn't thinking about it like that when I was watching
cartoons, thinking about Roger Rabbit, sexy and crushing, and what kind of fucking shit is this?"
What? People are obsessed.
I ain't in that kind of shit. Now, I ain't no judgment, you know, but I ain't no furry or whatever the fuck that
Those two things are not synonymous. I'm not for here.
Don't
for,
they be in cartoon costumes?
I'm not here for either one, but those two things don't always go together.
Cartoons is for kids. So I ain't have no cartoon crush.
I'm just
I don't know what the fuck
said,
that is.
What the fuck? And he goes, right. No judgment.
Right, exactly. Like, well,
N.A. Okay.
Anyway.
I have to be honest. I was not a kid that watched cartoons.
Loved them.
I really wasn't.
I think
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I did enjoy Tom and Jerry.
And what is it? Tweety Bird. Mm-hmm.
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
The classics.
That big ass chicken, Foghorn Leghorn. Used to be cussing everybody out.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
That's really it. And Elmer Fudd.
And wasn't nothing sexy about none of that. So I want to know who the motherfucker is that wanted to know if we had cartoon crushes. And I hope you cussed them out. Don't be letting them ask you no shit like that. You tell them, listen, I grew up with a strong mother.
He's just going to keep going.
So where did the question come from?
It was a Twitter question that was not asked.
Oh, you just saw it.
Yes, I was looking at the trending topics.
I thought they had disrespected you.
No,
by kicking it to you like Asante. Who was your cartoon crush?
It did not happen. No one added me.
Wait, but who was your cartoon crush?
Oh, well, when I read it, I didn't think to myself, oh, yeah, I did. Like, I just was like, oh, let me, I have a good spin on this. And I was going to ask that, but since you had stopped for a second, I was like, well, let me see who the cartoon crushes were. But then you didn't watch cartoons, so it was like,
meh. I mean, Jessica Rabbit obviously was, like, bomb. But I didn't have a crush. I just wanted that dress.
Right. And that was the thing. The picture that came up.
That dress was bomb.
That was the first thing I saw, like, a bunch of the Jessica Rabbits when they did the Who Framed Roger Rabbit movie, and she was out there on stage. And I was like, oh, you know what? I guess she did look good. But I never thought to myself, like, oh, like, Jessica. Like, even watching Sailor Moon, and they had them short-ass skirts on them high boots, I never thought, ooh, you know, Luna, they doing some things over there. Like,
it was
I
like
never,
a uniform.
Right. Yeah, but it's still kind of a slutty uniform. It's still like, girl, why you got, why the thing so short? But to me, I never processed it like that anyway. It was kind of like just magical.
It's a cartoon, whimsical. Yeah.
But as far as a cartoon crush, my first one, I can't even put a date on this. I have no idea. You know what? I did like Brock for a while from Pokemon because I thought he was black for a bit, but then he was a
Brock?
Complete idiot. Yeah, so there was Ash Ketchum, the main character. Then there was Misty. Well, then there was Brock. Then there was Misty. But Brock was the leader of the first gym he had to go through. And then Misty was the second one.
I have to Google it.
Brock don't look cute. I just thought he was black. I was like, oh, there's a nigga on here. But then he's like Hawaiian or something. I was like, oh, he's not a nigga. So it wasn't like my real crush. But I was
I'm
going to
say
oh, cool.
Goku.
Yeah. Hey. Come on now. He's going to get them Dragon Balls for you. Make some wishes now.
Not Dragon Balls.
I'll say Sita from Sita's World.
Yes. And she could dance her ass off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Watch y'all both do the dance at the same time.
See that. See this word.
Legend. I am legend. Jesus. So it actually made me think about my first musical crush. Like,
now we talking.
Do you remember being like younger and hearing a song and then being like, damn. And this is like a musical crush. You were more so in love with the song than the person.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Super
Woo, keep like, that to myself.
Well, yeah, because I ain't want to put out the other one. Unless y'all want to do that one. Unless you want to say who
we
your
can.
Crush. Well, yeah. So who is your crush then? Crush.
My first real crush, I was like, that is the most beautiful person I've ever seen was Bryce Wilson from Groove Theory.
Yes.
Manifestation. That was the first. You know who I have posters of? I know I've said it before on the show. Genuine.
Yes, Genuine.
I mean, that was a sex symbol.
Elgin Lunkin.
Yes, that was a time.
And I did. Who else?
And he could dance.
And the kid from that baseball movie.
Baseball movie.
With like all the little boys.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Why would you say?
Wasn't she in a
and
baseball
the fact
movie?
That he said Rosie.
I just thought about a League of Their Own. Sorry, y'all.
Holy shit.
Baseball
like,
movie.
I had posters of Rosie O'Donnell.
In that baseball uniform.
Holding the bat. Dustin.
Just hanging around.
No,
you know?
Y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
It was a baseball movie.
The Sandlot.
The Sandlot.
The Sandlot.
Do you remember the
I
boy
bet
from
he
the
really
Sandlot?
Knew,
I love the Sandlot. Yes, but I can't remember his name. But I know
on.
What you're talking about.
I imagine you really knew that one, but yeah. You went with the Rosie O'Donnell
because he had to do it to me. He said Rosie.
Ooh,
play ball. Okay.
This dude. Hold on.
Lord Jesus.
This one, the tall one with the hat, mm-hmm. The blue hat. You don't remember
he
him?
He did music?
No, he was in
no,
the movie.
No, he was just in the movie. Oh. I was talking about the posters
baseball.
On my wall.
Yeah, close enough.
But it's not random. Bryce Wilson, Elgin Lumpkin, and him.
And
this nigga, yeah.
Look, well, since if we're not going to talk about musical crushes, I used to have a really big crush on, I don't even know the actor's name, but he played in that basketball movie, Sunset Park, and he had big hair. He was Dominican as fuck, or Puerto Rican maybe. And then later on, let me look this up, because he was just, to me, so cute, and I think it's because he had all that damn hair.
Do you mean, oh my God, it's at the tip of my tongue.
Show enough from The Last Dragon.
Oh, and while you playing, First Crush probably would have gone to Ty Mock. Okay, because that was my movie growing up.
I told you he, well, I won't say where he runs.
I know where he, I know this story.
Put him on black. But I ran past him and I did the whole look back and everything. I was like, God damn.
Still standing.
That's a good looking man. Still standing.
Look, okay. he come out every year for Comic-Con because people are always asking about his ass. And he always selling videos and signing autographs and pictures and t-shirts.
He looks great. Like, he looks young, and I know he must be super old. Because he was already, like, older in that movie. Wasn't
Way
he?
Older, yeah.
When we were little. Shout out to Vanity. Rest in peace.
Shout out to Vanity.
Yes! I found a place. Finally,
you know, I wanted to be her. Like,
Vanity was the
I
shit.
Wanted to be her the so badly when I was little. I was like, oh my God.
Epitome of just sex appeal,
swag,
prowess, like all that shit.
Effortlessly beautiful, just chilling.
Just fresh. Ooh. Vanity was the shit. Yeah. And Nasty Girl is a classic. Rings bells around the world. I don't care.
Did you find him?
No, I can't think of his name. All the black people on the movie came up, but he was on one of the opposing teams, and the only pictures that come up are with the whole black team and the teacher.
I gotta find it.
And that's not gonna help, because I don't want to show Dustin this picture of this teacher that's taking me out.
I used to have a crush on...
look at her.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
I used to have a crush on Kelly Rowland.
Really?
Yeah.
And I had a crush.
Kelly.
I don't give a fuck. I had a crush on Chico DeBarge in that No Guarantees video with him and Joe stirring up them feelings. I sure did. I didn't tell nobody, but I did. It was something about,
got a one-room apartment.
In a little bitty space.
In a little bitty space. Isn't man, much but keeps the raindrops on my pretty baby's face.
Just getting by.
And the money spent. Don't even know how I'm gonna pay the monthly rent. Not Dustin Lustig after Chico DeMar.
I was like, that ain't supposed to be hard. But yeah.
I mean, I remember thinking like, I mean, yeah. But he was talking about being sending her letters from jail. We were lusting over him. We were mad young.
You knew who I was lusting over?
Who?
I don't even know if it was every member. It was just I liked the song so damn much. But 112, when I heard Cupid for the first time.
Legendary.
Like, when I heard Cupid for the very first time, I don't know what it was. But I was like, I think I love these niggas.
Oh.
I was probably 7 or 8 years old. So,
but the music, not them.
Yeah, that's what I don't know if it was all the members.
No,
it was just something about that song, the way they were singing it, that was really hit. You know, Slim was really hitting them notes. Yes.
I felt the same way. Y'all remember I Swear by All For One?
I swear.
Fed by the moon and the stars in the sky.
And I swear.
Yes.
I swear. Turn the shadows. I don't even remember the words.
That's when you hit that 8th grade slow dance. Side to side, you know?
They were awesome to me. That was when the box, when you would order videos on TV. I used to order their song all the time. It was like $1.99, $2.99. But that song, I can't even tell you what they look like. I don't know if I remember.
I don't remember what they look like either.
But that song was something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could play that now and get emotional. Same with Jagged Edge, Gotta Be.
Oh my God. I bust in tears catalog. Right here, right now.
That
I love Jagged Edge.
Forever, that record.
They was the first Claremont catalog. Twins.
I gotta be the one.
For real.
They was the first Claremont Twins. I don't care what nobody said. Jagged Edge was the first Claremont Twins.
They were so random.
Damn, what was the other one's name? Was it Wingo and... I was about to say Wingo and Rico.
Are they part of Cisco now? I mean, Cisco.
No, they absorbed...
Playa.
Yeah.
Jagged Edge did?
Drew Hill did.
Drew but I Hill thought and, the two brothers from Jagged confusing. Edge are somewhere else.
Huh?
I am confusing.
Drew Hill and Playa have
merged.
Combined. Because one of the members of Playa...
passed away.
Yes.
Static.
So they're a super group now.
Yes. And everybody from Drew Hill is still there?
What's the name of it?
No. I feel like somebody
I think they're
left.
Going on tour as Drew Hill. Like, because they sing in there. I don't actually remember the
I
details.
I feel like Nokio, was it Nokio?
Mm-hmm.
He's not in it no more. At least I didn't see him in
ain't
it.
Ain't no Drew Hill without on that. Everybody knows. The expendable one was Woody. You got to have Cisco.
So
you
got to
have, let's talk, we speak in facts.
No.
Let's talk Cisco. Let's talk Nokio. And you know Jazz had them pipes. Jazz had a song on the Nutty Professor 2 soundtrack. I can't even remember the name of it, but I think it was called Takeaway or something like that. It was the shit.
And he had the choreography. I always think of him with the jump.
Yeah. That, and he choreographed, what was that Kelly Price video when she had on the blue leather jumpsuit and she was doing all that choreo. Jazz had did that choreography.
He was a friend of mine.
With her and Whitney Houston and Faith or whatever, and she was dancing. Jazz did that choreography. I'm just playing. He didn't do that choreography.
Yeah. So I found
He didn't do that?
I found this article from Vibe.
I really believed you.
Found this article from Vibe back in 2018 of August, or August of 2018 rather, and it says Drew Hill adds R&B veterans player to group, announced new album exclusive.
Wow.
Give me a break.
What's the first line?
I'm gonna listen because they're great artists and may they thrive forever.
And I loved Player.
Me too.
Cheers to You is one of my favorite
classic
songs. Cheers to you for giving me a chance.
I'll be your angel.
I want to be your man. Ooh, such a simple record too. Like, there's not much to it.
Okay, so since we're talking about back then and crushes, I guess my first white crush I did not know was...
Ooh, a white crush.
John B, because I did not know he was white.
Okay.
But I didn't know... Like, I knew he... Because, you know, the way he was singing, I heard the song, was like, is this John?
And he had a taper. So he was like, I am confused.
Are you Puerto Rican or something? I ain't never seen this.
You got your hair cut. You're singing.
Like, what is going on?
Is you?
John B.
Can your mama cook? Can't your mama cook?
And because you just said
another way to figure it out.
Because you just said Nutty Professor, also want to throw an honorable mention to Zane, Lil Zane.
I thought you were talking about the
books.
He
was a crush?
Yeah.
A lot of people like Lil Zane.
Loved Lil Zane.
Oh, that's really cute.
And Lil Zane. Say my name.
That's really cute.
I used to love that song, Calling Me.
I'm trying to think who my white crush. I don't know if I had a white crush in music. Snow and fall.
I like it more. Hey.
No, snow. I mean, shout out to Snow.
I used to have a crush on Patra too. Real talk.
Ooh, yes. Pull up to my bumper, baby.
In long black limousine.
Yeah.
I used to love Patra.
Pull up, pull
on
up.
On them ninja bikes and shit.
Yes.
Patra was the shit. Romance. I need a romantic call. I'm talking to my baby daddy.
On a romantic call.
Me and my brother used to be like, looking like them emojis with them wide eyes, watching them Patra videos, like, damn.
With them braids and them booty shorts.
Patra has the low key, where is that braider at? Because them braids is back. So, and that's like riding a bike. You never forget how to do it. So where is Patrick's braider? Patrick's braider, stand up and let the people know where you are.
They're on the cruise with Pierre. Yeah.
Get in the bag, okay? Yes. Shit.
I'm dead.
All right, well, that was just a little fun segment, a little something fun, you know, really break the ice, okay? Now we can just get into our listens lately.
Ooh, now, so money.
I'm going to go on ahead and just say there are a lot of new hot things that have come out, starting with Real Hot Girl Shit. Megan Thee Stallion, she dropped
what
Fever.
What a project.
Fever is amazing, forwards, backwards, on shuffle. There's just no complaints over here. It's very rare that I have an artist that I'm fucking with so heavy and I'm loving everything that they're doing. And Megan, she's just doing it. I have no complaints. I'm very satisfied. There's been nothing but music and freestyles and visuals. She's addressed the haters at a few points and times, but nothing annoyingly or overkill. So shout out to Megan. Shout out to the Hot Girl. More great shit for you. I can't wait for the album to come so you can show us what you're really made of. I love the fact that you only had two features on here and they were both very strong and very perfect. DaBaby was an even match, a perfect match, and he's brand new and fresh too. Nobody took away from anybody's shine. Y'all complimented each other very much. And Juicy J, delivered. And I'm so happy. Simon says, do it again. I love it. That's all Simon I have to say. Also listen to Igor, Tyler, the Creator. He dropped that. New cool sounds on there. I'm really fucking with. Really funky, really psychedelic. A little alternative. All sorts of cool shit. There's something for everybody on there. But I
love the cover art so much.
Have you seen the video?
I saw clips of it because Tracee Ellis Ross is in it.
Please watch it.
So she posted it on her IG.
Please watch it. It's a really, really dope video. Like, she does a great job. And Tyler, the Creator, he's really, you know, he's a little crazy, but I fuck with it. I'm here for Wolfgang. So, yeah, that's it for me. Nothing to play for you guys. So what have you been listening to lately, friend?
There's actually an artist that you put me onto Amalu.
Yes.
Who I been a fan of, but for some reason that Tried Up record.
I don't know what it,
you know how you songs gotta watch come the visual back around. With that. Yeah, I have. Yes. I'm a huge fan of hers. And it just came back around. I don't know, maybe, you know, when you let your Spotify play and it like kind of plays songs that are similar to the one you're listening to, like it creates its own playlist. I think maybe that's how it came back around.
It could be better. It could be better.
I just love the tone of her voice too, but it's also just a cool song because it doesn't sound like anything that's out right now.
You want to play that?
Yeah, I'm about to play it now.
This song. Go ahead.
So this is Amalu. It's spelled AmaLou, and the song is called Tried Up.
Send it forward, I got you. Pretty important, I had you. Will you make sure I loved it? If you would die, cause it seems like I could be it all. Do you trip when you hear it all? I'm burning blood when you feel it all, yeah. It could be better, I wouldn't even know. Try to cut my bluff when you had your last go. And I came for it. Say you make my last show. I could call, but you get to hang up. Dried up and dried for me, huh? I'm tied up and tired for me. I'm tried up and dried for me, huh? I'm tied up. Keep it locked, unbothered. Keep it boxed, unwanted. Did they tell you I was sorry? It seems like I could be it all. Do you trip when you hear it all? I'm burning blood when you feel it all, yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be better, I wouldn't even know. Try to cut my bluff when you had your last go. And I came for it, did you say you make my last show? I could call, but you get to hang up, off. Tied up and tied up and tied for me, huh? I'm tied up. Stand on your motorbike. And for the most part, I don't lie. That was just crowded eyes. That was just crowded. Did you predict how that was darkened? Did you try and see it for me? Cause I. And you had me climbing on trees. Give me sandy cause the rings were older than I ever knew before. Be better, good, it could be better. Be better, good, it could be better. It could be better, good, it could be better. It could be better, good, it could be better. It could be better, I wouldn't even know. Try to cut my bluff when you had your last go. And I came for it, did you say you made my last show? I could call, but you get to hang on.
Record, ain't that great?
Yeah,
yes,
and the lyrics,
good record.
Love her.
The tone of her voice is awesome. The video was cool because she has like a really cool look, sort of like androgynous. Her style, her
hair. Your hair kind of like that today.
You see me, the Amalu inspo today. So that's kind of what I've had on repeat. And then of course, I've been listening to Igor. I can't really pick a fave. Fever, I've been listening to in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I told y'all I was on the bike, zoned out. And then I look up and the trainer was across like, okay, what you listening to?
Megan put you in the zone now.
Man.
What's the song on Igor with Solange singing the bridge? Is it?
I don't know which one.
Yeah, I've literally been playing it on my Sonos, like on repeat and shuffle and all that.
Oh, and Duckworth.
Oh, I haven't listened yet.
The Duckworth album is called The Falling Man. It dropped on the 17th. He has a song called, Maya's been playing it. Every time I talk to her, she has it in the background. So it's like her obsession.
So it's the one.
Yeah, so it kind of spilled over to me, but it's called Love is Like a Mosh Pit. Have you heard it?
No.
Blah, blah, blah. blah, love is like a mash pit. Blah, 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 love is like a mash pit. Blah, 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 love is like a mash pit. Blah, 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 love is like a mash pit. Blah, 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 love is like a mash pit. Blah, 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 love is like a mash pit.
Dope, right?
Hell yeah.
That one, and then my personal fave is Fall Back. Look, just the production.
If you would have told me my girl was on there, I would have listened a while ago. Rico Nasty.
Oh, yeah.
And Keanu LeDay like on the other track, Nobody Falls.
The project is really dope. And I love that he can go between singing and rapping and doing like the rap talk. So his flow is dope. So that's, you hear me?
That's Duckworth.
That's Duckworth. If you've never heard of him, he spells it D-U-C-K-W-R-T-H. There's no O. And that's it.
Well, the song I like on Igor is called I Think. Solange, I just looked it up, and Solange contributed vocals on three different songs. Mm-hmm. But the song called I Think, it's number three on the album.
Okay.
It's all of that.
Okay.
Okay. So.
I love that you're listening to Igor.
Right? Hey, listen, I had to press play.
Dolly!
The cover art was so dope to me. I was like, okay, let me just give it a shot. Because I'm not the biggest like Tyler, the Creator fan. Mm-hmm. I could kind of take it or leave it if I'm being honest. But this is good music to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, fun fact this week, 21 years ago, The Boy Is Mine came out.
The Boy Is Mine.
By Brandy and Monica. So, The Boy Is Mine can drink, y'all.
Wow.
Yes.
Every time these stats are released, it like blows.
Right? Makes you think about that skirt that Monica had on.
Yes, them looks.
Yep, the hair. What a video.
That like the blue and white. No, blue and like lavender or something. Was it orange?
Remember they had, was it yellow that Brandy had on?
I can't. It's just, I just remember the blue and like light blue.
They used to make Monica cover her tattoos up.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's why she used to wear those armbands and stuff. But
wow.
Yeah, so that came out 21 years ago. And since we're talking about old shit, as far as listening lately goes for me, there's a song that keeps coming up in commercials that I just...
Is it the water cooler commercial?
No.
Oh.
But this song keeps coming up in commercials. I love it. It's by Supertramp and it's called Give a Little Bit. And it goes a little something like this. So yeah, that's just a classic song that I absolutely love. It's been floating around in my atmosphere.
I love that.
I love Supertramp.
That
I
was
love
so
that
random.
Yeah. Give a little bit.
Give a little
damn
bit.
It.
There's so much that we need.
Can you imagine if Iyanla sang that? Give a little bit.
Iyanla.
While she's
give
on
a
tour.
Bit of your love to me. Give a little bit. You give a little bit.
I
love that song.
It's a classic.
And that's it for my listens lately this week.
Well, then that means that's it for the Music Man segment. Long day at work. Tough day at school. Still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve. On demand from your favorite restaurant. And the restaurants come directly to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat. And a DoorDasher will bring it to you anywhere you are. Not only is that burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities, all 50 states, and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. Again, that's promo code THEFRIENDZONE for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Mitch, so now we can move on over to TV land. Dustin Ross, what the fuck have you been watching?
Well, in keeping tradition with this episode's random nature, we're going to switch up the TV land segment this week. And I actually like to give a live review of my experience at Candy's Dungeon Tour.
Oh, my God. Yes, right? Awesome.
Yes. See, great. I was going to ask, but I was like, let me not, because I feel like it's going to happen here. And I was going to do a follow-up ass segment at the end of your
this
segment.
This is Dustin's field work, his research.
Yeah, baby, I was on the ground. I was reporting live, baby, okay?
What you gonna do?
First of all, I want the record to reflect that I was pissed because in the D.C. and New York stops of Candy's Welcome to the Dungeon Tour, first of all, let me dial back for those who may not be familiar. So Candy Burris, who was a member of Escape, and she's now a 10 or 11 seasons. She's 11 seasons deep on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, serial entrepreneur.
Making $2.3 million, right?
cough it up. legendary songwriter. She's accomplished so many things. And so one of her new entrepreneurial ventures is this traveling variety burlesque show that she called Welcome to the Dungeon because it was based on a silly rumor that started on The Real Housewives of Atlanta about her and her husband having a secret sex dungeon, which didn't exist. And it caused a big stir on the show. And so she kind of took that and flipped it to something that would work to her advantage. And she created this tour that she's taken all around the United States. It's been a month long trek and they've literally gone everywhere. And what it is, a lot of people are confused on what it is. It's essentially a costume party meets a burlesque variety show. And so guests are encouraged to wear sexy attire. You saw everything from lace to leather to, you know, harnesses to all kinds of things, lingerie, whatever you wanted to see. Now, me personally, once I knew the theme was dressing sexy, I decided to wear what I wear when I'm about to have sex. So instead of wearing like leather and stuff, because, you know, that's not my ministry personally, I just wore some Jordan basketball shorts and a tank top, aka a wife beater undershirt. And classic. I was about to wear Nike slides with my socks, but it was Terminal 5 and I don't know everybody like that. So I put some sneakers on, but I also wore a robe. So I
Classic.
So guests come in costume, and then Candy has put together an awesome review that is everything from exotic dancers to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the grapefruit lady who's been going around the internet. Yeah.
You guys put me on.
Okay. So she does a live demo at the beginning. She actually opens the show. After Candy's performance.
Did she hand out grapefruits to the audience?
No, but her spit lands all over the stage. They put a tarp down before she does her demonstration. Yeah, so this is a dungeon. So I think it's important that people know that they kind of push things to the limit.
Fran, put that mic by your mouth.
So you should know that going in.
You see how I moved away.
So Candy has a cast of characters that travel with her that actually rotated out this week in New York City and last weekend in D.C. Tamar Braxton and Trina, the icon, legendary rapper, who are the standing cast of the tour, they were unable to perform these two shows because of previous engagements. And so Candy filled in guest performers. And it kind of worked out because this was actually Candy's birthday weekend. So I know DC actually got Spice, which makes sense because, you know, DC loves dance hall. So that was cool. In New York City, instead of us having Trina and Tamar, we got Tammy Rivera. We got Jesse Wu. We got Little Mo. And we got Foxy Brown. And so the show starts off. Candy does a performance of actually DJ A1, Candy's DJ, plays a really dope set that gets the crowd moving. She's been booking huge venues. So like her New York show was at Terminal 5. You guys know how big that is. And she sold it out. There were people literally from front to back and on all the levels. We were fortunate enough, before I even go any further, I want to give a huge thank you to Victor, who is the choreographer of the tour for Candy.
My God.
Mr. Glam Rock Soul. He actually, huge thanks to Victor. He was the one who actually offered us our tickets to the show and our passes and all of that. So they took care of us. The hospitality was amazing.
That's amazing.
And me and Drew went. So shout out to Drew Shade. And we actually watched the show from the control booth. right there with Victor and him. It was really a good perspective on the show and a great view.
I was watching Drew's stories and I sent him a DM. I was like, I cannot believe it.
We went to the dungeon. I had to see it for myself. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna miss this. But to speed things up, there were several guest performers. There were actually, there's a male exotic dancer named Bolo, who a lot of people know from the Vivica Fox Chocolate City show, I think it was. He did a couple of dance routines. There were Three the Hard Way from Magic City, the legendary stripper trio. They actually did a routine. Guests from the audience are caught up on stage. And I was watching, what I was most fascinated by was Candy's. All of this is a system, right? Candy has literally put together a run of show. And so she would weave in different elements that I know were like, clearances or like people agreeing to participate, and she would dress it up in really sexy talk and really ask them, do we have your permission to do such and such? But she would get it. And I love that Candy was so precise about handling her business, and it shows, it manifests itself in elements like that and in the seamless entry of the show. Our tickets were at will call. They had people scanning at different stations. Everything was just seamless business operations.
She's a tourist.
I tell you, the attention to those details.
Yes.
So Candy comes out, she performs Ready for This, which was the show that she, the single she came out with in the video, you know what that is. And it was actually a bomb. You ain't fucking with a real bitch.
Tell me what you gonna do.
She wore it out live, y'all. I'm telling you, I was thoroughly impressed.
Damn.
Then the Grapefruit Lady comes on, then it just, the show goes on from there. It's a mix of strippers, it's a mix of musical artists, but it keeps going. It's about a 3-hour show.
Wow.
And it culminates with performances from the larger acts. So like Jessie Wu came out. It was great to see her. She's such a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
So her stage presence was great. I didn't too much care for her song, but
what did she sing?
Oh yeah, Jessie Wu.
Oh yeah, she sings.
She has a beautiful voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Candy actually recently posted that she loved the fact that she was able to offer this as a vehicle to other artists who don't really get that exposure as performers, but they're known for other stuff. Because like she has Shamari out there wasting our time for two songs.
Oh my God, Dustin.
Of all the performers on the show, she was the most forgettable. And that's including the Foxy Brown debacle that you guys saw.
I can't believe you were there to witness the Foxy.
Me, Fred, of all people. So let's just go on and get
to it. You know, when it happened, I was like, Dustin is in that fucking audience.
Fran. Okay, so long story short, so Little Mo came out, and honestly, I had the lowest expectation for Little Mo based on what she's been presenting to us. It's no secret that I love Little Mo and her music. I'm a huge back in the day fan. And I haven't been happy with some of her choices professionally lately. But that voice and them songs, them hits, ain't went nowhere. Little Mo came out on that stage and had the entire Terminal 5 on their feet singing and moving. She shut it down. So for all that Foxy Brown was not, Cynthia Loving, I don't know if it's the heels of this divorce she going through or what, but mama was on that night. You talking about chips and tech and shit in your body. Somebody done put something in Lil Mo, because baby girl was, oh, they had flipped her switch. She was on. Let's get to the good part. So we get to this as one more thing that I definitely want to make sure I mention. Delicious from Flavor of Love, who has far, her career accomplishments have eclipsed that. She's done radio. She's been a part of several different productions. She was the co-host to this show, and she actually sang Nasty Girl by Vanity Six. She did a little routine with strippers. You know, Delicious can blow. Oh, it was amazing. And beyond that, it was. And beyond that,
I believe that.
Yeah. Beyond that, she
was. I thought you were saying Beyonce. I was like, Beyonce.
She was. She went to, if she was, she was at the dungeon. She was upstairs. So
she was upstairs.
Come on, friend. Delicious was the best host, y'all. Her energy. Her, like, even when, like, there would be lulls or some of the guests from the audience would do too much, or there would be things that would throw a person off. Homegirl's energy, her timing was, I mean, beyond impeccable. She was the perfect person to have in that capacity.
Okay.
From her outfits to the things she was saying to the crowd, to the way that she was keeping things moving, but not in a pushy way. I was really impressed with the production elements of this tour. Let's get to Foxy. So God. Candy and Delicious come out, they announced that they wanted somebody on the East Coast who had a connection to this city and who we knew we loved and blah, blah, blah. So they introduced Foxy Brown. She comes out. Immediately, there are two other people on stage with her that have mics that match hers. Her mic had a rhinestone surround on it, you know. And she came out. She had on like some thigh-high leopard boots that obviously were designer, some Chanel suspenders.
She looked
cool. She had a look.
I loved it.
She had a look, and she had a really sexy like chain mask on with glasses on top, which I thought was a bit much because I'm like, girl, you got to be able to see what you're doing. Like, so, but it went with the theme of the night, right? So I was fine with that. Now, me, Get You Home Tonight by Foxy Brown featuring Blackstreet is one of my all-time, all-genre. Favorite.
Baby.
What a song, right? What a mood. So I have a respect for Foxy as a lyricist. All those things. Well, she needed to get herself home.
No.
Yeah, she
the night
did.
Of the dungeon. And I'm going to tell you, for me, I could have laughed. I could have, you know, oh, they booing, whatever. First, let me, I know I'm kind of getting all over the place, but I want to dispel one thing that I saw online. Everybody's saying that, oh, the crowd in New York must have been too young to appreciate Foxy's music. They didn't have any respect for her legacy, whatever. Everybody in there was probably 30 years old and up. There were no young crowd. There was no young crowd. There were no young people in there. There were people who knew the words to Foxy's music. There were people who understood her legacy, her impact, and really appreciated her being there. There were also people, those same people, who knew the history of performances that Foxy's had recently that haven't been good. And so I was worried. I'm tired of seeing people fuck up. I love to see people that are legends get their just due. And I didn't want to laugh at Foxy Brown. Now, was it funny when she was moving around and just acting crazy on stage? Yes, because it's a rap show. And so for her to be doing something that's out of sync with the way the show is supposed to be going is funny to see.
What was she doing?
So like one song would be playing, she would be rapping something completely different. And a lot of people have been saying that it was because of her hearing impairment, right? But she was keeping up. I think some of it was, I don't think that that's what the poll problem was. Some of that was Foxy deciding to make certain choices because I would see her refute things that the DJ would play, or she was in control of what was going on. What I was most confused by was the purpose of the other two people who got on stage with her, because they were sometimes overpowering what she was saying. Now I recognize that maybe they were there to help because she maybe couldn't hear.
Right.
I do. We all remember
to
that.
To like keep her
on flow with the show and keep her on track with the songs. But it didn't work because she was literally rapping a different song. So like say Get You Home Tonight was playing. She would just start freestyling a different rap and she'd be like, fuck that shit. I want to talk to my bitches. And she would go into freestyles, which were dope, actually, because I was listening. The first one I thought was intentional. So I was listening to it like, oh, shit, she about to spit. Like, okay, we about to get a real, you know, freestyle from Foxy in 2019 live in New York. So I was preparing for like a moment, you know. I had enjoyed the sidewalk. I was ready to have me a good time. But then it became a pattern, and it wasn't just that one song. Mm. So something happened. I don't know what it was. I pray to God that that this wasn't because of her not being able to hear, but it was literally a mess. And it was so shocking because, like I said, I'm in the control booth. So I'm seeing the way that the production team is responding to this, and I know that something's going terribly wrong. They're like in crisis. Then, so finally, so the crowd starts booing her. They booed her more than once, too. It wasn't just one time that they booed her. They finally booed her so loudly that one of the guys that was on stage with her just kind of, she cued the DJ to play something else, and the guy just kind of ushered her off stage. I think Candy was caught off guard by that because I saw Candy literally like say, hold on, and she like tried to touch Foxy's arm, and Foxy snatched her arm away. So I saw that. Candy, then, another thing I appreciate about her, she was trying to keep things classy. So she immediately comes on stage and says, y'all got to respect my girl now. You know, let's let her take her mask off. Y'all know she be killing shit, whatever. Which she did kill shit. The energy, the vibe, the mood, the night, everything. But at the same time, there was a part of me that I was like ready to go, you know, and laugh at her. But then I was like, this is actually sad.
Super.
It's sad because I know that like, that was so disgraceful to like what she's gave, because you say what you want, but Foxy then gave a lot to music. Mm-hmm. And it was so disgraceful to that as a hip hop fan to see. But I know that there was more to the story because DJ A1 then says, fuck that. You ain't finna do that on our, not on our stage. New York, let's party. And he plays The Jump Off by Lil' Kim. But I really believe, I'm telling y'all, this wasn't something that he did to incite the crowd to act crazy. That was in response to whatever was now going on behind the curtain and to also some of the energy and some of the actions that I saw during the entire performance. That wasn't just to like get her back or whatever. That was a response, a reaction to something. So all of that just made it get real, real, real fast.
Damn.
But then after a while, Candy and Delicious came out. They were trying to like hype the crowd up and, you know, get us excited about Foxy coming back out. But once it was confirmed that she wasn't coming back out, she stayed in.
Oh, they tried to get her back out.
Yeah. We thought that she was going to come back out, but she didn't come back out. And so they just started partying. So that's what happened with Foxy Brown.
Damn.
So it was a fool, and the video clips are funny and shit. And it's funny. It's funny. Shit. Ain't nobody laughing at her because she has a hearing problem, but that shit was funny. Now, when it's not funny is when you realize like something really happened. That's when you're like, okay.
I wonder what it was. Right. Though.
So,
especially for DJ A1 to act like that.
That's what I'm saying. That was energy based on something else that happened. So, but I was there reporting live firsthand, 10 toes down.
Dustin Ross in the field
at the dungeon party. So that's what happened when I was welcomed to the dungeon. So again, shout out to Victor. Thank you so much for the hospitality. Everything was wonderful. Shout out to everybody on Candy's team for a seamless show. There were several people there. And I think it's worth noting that at the DC show, April Ryan was there. April Ryan went
April
to the dungeon.
April.
Yeah, she went to the DC show.
Wait, what did she have on?
I didn't want to look down. I was afraid. I'm like, I just want to know you from your neck up.
That's so cool, though.
I ain't ready for April to turn into May. So, yeah. So that's what happened at the dungeon tour, y'all. Yes.
Amazing. I was so curious what it was. Like, now I obviously have a better understanding. It's a cabaret show. I thought it was like a sex party.
I really thought it was Baltimore or something.
Just like a sex party.
No, do you want to go to one of the other tour dates, friend?
Oh, one of the other ones?
Mm-hmm. We should go to like a different...
There's only three left.
But yep. They're probably all sold out.
Dallas, Houston, and I believe St. Louis.
Work Houston.
Dallas, Houston, and somewhere.
Oh, Jade can go.
Right?
She's in Houston.
I suggest y'all go because it's the shit. The dungeon was a great time.
Are you going to talk about anything on TV?
Mm-mm. That was our TV segment.
Yay.
Okay. You sure you don't want to talk about love?
Positive.
Okay. You sure you don't want to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac?
Give a little bit. Okay.
You sure you don't want to talk about Real Housewives of
Positive.
Potomac?
Positive.
Okay.
You want to talk
I'm
about
just asking for the audience so they don't be like,
I'm responding be happy.
To them. I did my due diligence.
Nope. Okay.
All right. Well, I guess that means we're going to move on to This Is a Story, because this is a story. Dustin Ross, please don't leave us hanging like you always do.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
I think so.
This is a story, episode 18. You gotta talk like you're in a dark room.
It's legal. The story's legal.
This week, we're gonna hear the story from Katie's perspective. I was laying there in ecstasy when his phone rang. It's amazing to me how the little things, like the sound of his phone vibrating on the nightstand, are what are ingrained most in my memory. Obviously, I'm aware that it didn't sound any differently than it normally did, but there was something about the buzzing of his phone that night that was simply different. Something about that buzz told me that this particular phone call would interrupt all of the calm that I'd finally been able to manifest after the storm that we'd literally just been through hours earlier. As Ron raised up from the bed and reached to grab his phone, I knew something was different. Something wasn't all the way right, and it was more than just lingering anxiety from the damn brawl in my foyer earlier. Everything was off, from the way his back looked under the moonlight, which was normally one of my favorite things to look at, to the way that the covers yanked off of me when he raised up. As soon as that sheet moved and my body felt that air, it was like I was being given a heads up that something was about to happen. Some sort of change to the energy between us. My intuition never misled me, and it was screaming at me that something was wrong right now. As soon as Ron answered his phone and followed up with, "This is he," I knew that my intuition had once again been correct in warning me that something was off. I sat up in the bed and covered my naked breasts with one arm as I listened to Ron's end of the conversation he was having. I wasn't trying to prevent my breasts from being exposed. Ron was quite familiar with my titties and the scenic roots of my body in general. There was something very symbolic about the action, though. It was like my body was reminding me that I had to protect myself in that moment, rely on myself, make sure that I was okay before I tried to help anyone else, no matter who it was. As he continued uttering only one-word responses, it became clear to me that he was doing more listening than anything else. So while Ron listened to the caller, I listened to him, both literally and figuratively. I listened to his responses. I listened to his energy. I listened to his posture as he began to sit more and more upright as the phone call continued. I listened to the intensity of his stare as he kept his eyes focused on the knob of the lamp on the nightstand next to him. And I listened to the dulled nature of his spirit as he ended that call and immediately lowered his head. "Baby," I said. "No," he replied. "No." "Ron, what's wrong?" I asked. Even though, once again, my intuition was tapping me on the shoulder saying, "Don't do it," as the question rolled from my lips. Silence. I stood from the bed and lowered my arm from my breasts. I wanted to present myself as trustworthy and completely present in the moment for Ron. You see, he was my focus right now, and this was a time when I needed to cradle his heart no matter what was going on. So I walked around the bed and stood naked directly in front of him. I placed my hand on his and hoped that he wouldn't snatch it away. He didn't. And that was a good sign. It gave me comfort that his anger wasn't directed toward me. I felt a wave of guilt wash over me because that was selfish of me to be concerned with my own feelings at that time. I squeezed his hand with mine and refocused on Ryan in the moment. "Talk to me, baby. I'm here for you. I'm here for us. What's wrong, and how can I help everything be okay, baby? Can you make Mia breathe again, Katie? She was in a car accident and stopped breathing." Ron was barely able to get the words out before he fainted right there on my bedroom floor.
We'll see you next week. No, that's not an ending.
For the next episode of What's This Is a Story. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening with your ears. I hope you wash your legs.
Oh my God, as always, we love you so much. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye. MAC Powder Lipstick is matte reinvented. Mm. The new matte formula is where matte meets moisture, giving you the zero shine look of a matte lipstick with instant long-term hydration and a weightless, cushiony texture. The velvety soft matte colors glide on effortlessly, with a wide range of shades that are sure to complement any skin tone. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw that I showed you the range of colors they have. They're super beautiful. Maybe I'll wear them one day. Head to your nearest MAC location to meet your MAC today or shop at MACcosmetics.com.